You've heard the coaches' insights leading up to tonight's game of the week. We've brought you predictions and updates of all our area teams. You've seen or heard the hits and huge plays of tonight's biggest game. Well, football fans, we're just getting started. It's time now for the Community National Bank High School Scoreboard Show with Jake and Boz on the MSC Sports Radio Network. The Community National Bank High School Scoreboard Show is brought to you in part by McDonald's of Hiawatha and Seneca, by Knights of Columbus Insurance, Kirby Schmelsley, B&P Propane, by Gals of Grace Boutique in Nortonville, Blue Valley Technologies, by Commercial Tire Solutions, by Edward Jones, The Elevator in Valley Falls, by Bruna Implement Company, Sunflower Community Credit Union, by American Family Insurance, Brad Noller Agent, by Helena AgriSystems, Lucard Chiropractic in Sabetha, by Honeyman Ford in Seneca, the Denison State Bank, and by Giant Communications.
This is how we do.
Here we go. And it's Friday night, which means once again, it's time for the Community National Bank High School Scoreboard Show here on the MSC Sports Radio Network with Jake and Boz. I'm Jake. What's up, Boz?
Hey, everybody.
How you been?
I'm good.
Yeah?
It's Friday night.
Why don't you get up that mic? Let me hear you a little bit better.
God,
come on, dog.
This thing, never works right.
Oh, okay.
Here we go. It's the mic's fault.
Here we go. Yeah. Let's blame everything other than ourselves. What do we teach our kids? What are we teaching our kids right now?
Come on.
Welcome again. It's the final one, Boz, of this 2023 calendar year. Crazy.
Years flown by.
The next time that you and I will be talking here on the Community National Bank High School Scoreboard Show, the calendar year will be 2024.
Whew. I can't believe it.
You know, can you remember back in the day movies or TV shows? You know, I was watching an SNL skit the other day.
Uh-huh.
From back in the day.
Yeah.
Jim Carrey was on it. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I just want to make sure you're fine.
I know. Yeah. I'm with you.
All right. You're with me. And they were kind of precursing what 2023 would look like.
Oh, boy.
And it's just comical because, you know, it's like, you know, yes, we've got hoverboards and stuff, but it wasn't the way that people made it out to be, you know.
Oh, yeah. There should be flying cars and things like that by this time.
Right.
But
I mean,
it's not.
Think about, you know, Marty McFly, his shoes.
Yeah.
You know.
Yep.
I've seen that there's been some in production, but they were precursing that for what, 2020?
Yeah.
I think.
That's supposed to have already happened.
Right. Still hadn't happened
yet.
We've got plenty of things in technology, artificial intelligence, all these things, but still don't have Marty McFly's shoes.
That's right. We don't need it.
We don't need that. Not yet, anyway.
Yeah.
How cool would it be, though? It'd be all right. All right. It's time for some scores here, my friend. But before we get into the scores, I want to remind people, Boz... No, I'm not going to make a mistake again this week.
Okay.
Last week I played that open for everything that says, you've heard all the scores. Well, the scores haven't been heard of yet.
Yeah.
Why don't you give us some scores?
I'll give you some scores. We are going to start with girls. And I'll tell everybody right now, we've got a lot of scores we still need.
Come on now.
There's some games just wrapping up. So if you got a score for us, call in. Let us know what happened. What we have so far, Donovan West on the girls' side, they fall to Valley Heights. 57-48, Hiawatha.
Easy enough for you to say.
Hiawatha, they defeat Holton in a close one, 38-32. Jeff West, another close game, they defeated Sabetha, 40-37. Nemaha Central, they were all over Perry LeCompton tonight, 46-15. Jackson Heights, they lose a close one tonight to Horton, 49-44. I think we're probably going to touch on that one here a little bit later. Really close game for the Horton girls. Oskaloosa at Jeff County North. JCN comes out with the win on top of that one, 55-46. Marysville, they defeat Chapman 43-36. That's on the girls' side. Now, on the boys' side, we need a whole bunch of scores. What we have so far, Donovan West, they fall at Valley Heights 49-24. Hiawatha, they fall as well to Holton 56-39. Sabetha gets the win over Jeff West 68-38. Perry LeCompton, they defeated Nemaha Central 42-36. And Horton defeats Jackson Heights 42-35. Here's what we still need.
Yeah,
we got,
come on now.
We got a lot of scores. I'm going to give you the girls' ones right now.
All right.
We need Rock Hills at Axtell.
Let's go.
Washington County at Centralia.
Need it.
Onega at Hanover.
Yep.
Royal Valley at Riverside.
This is a lot.
Yep. ACCHS at McClouth. Pleasant Ridge at Mar Hill Mount Academy. And we also need Sumner Academy at Atchison. So we need...
That's a lot of scores.
Like eight scores there. Seven scores.
Wow.
So yeah, that's on the girls' side. On the boys' side, basically the same ones.
Okay.
Yeah. Axtell, Centralia, Onega, Hanover, Riverside, Royal Valley, ACCHS, McClouth, Oskaloosa, Jeff County North, Pleasant Ridge, Mar Hill Mount Academy. We need the Atchison Sumner Academy score and Marysville Chapman.
Those are the scores that we still need here on the Community National Bank High School Scoreboard Show. We've talked about this in the past. We're going to have with just the way the nights go typically on a Friday, Boz, we've got some games that maybe take a little bit longer. And so in retrospect, for the fact that we need to pair everything up, with KAIR out of Atchison, we're going to wait to take our first break for a little bit. I know that you're never one to be short-winded.
We can talk a little
bit.
We
can talk.
Yeah.
And so just so everybody's aware of that. We want to make sure that people understand that they can always talk with us, Boz.
Yeah.
You know, it's our Friday Night Highlights segment that we do every single week.
We've given you tonight's scores and even some insights from our area games of the week. Now, we want to hear from you. It's time for Friday Night Highlights on the Community National Bank High School Scoreboard Show.
And exactly like Seth just mentioned, we want to hear from you. We also want to hear from you about what the score was of the games that maybe you were at tonight. Maybe a player that stuck out to you will give away a Lucrate Chiropractic and Wellness of Sabetha game ball a little bit later on in the show as well. So the phone number for that, Boz, is the Giant Communications hotline number of 785-547-3461. 785-547-3461 is the phone number for you to call in and give us a score that you may have, or if you want to talk about a game that you saw tonight that had some, again, there were some close games tonight.
There was, yeah, plenty of close games to talk about.
Good matchups of teams, again, as we're heading towards Christmas break, and, you know, who's got momentum on their side, who's got Uncle Mo hanging with them heading into the break as well. And again, this hotline is sponsored by Giant Communications. 12 days of giveaways underway right now. And Giant Communications, they got a special message for you. The holidays are here. Celebrate with Giant Communications and JBN Telephone Company with the 12 days of giveaways. The fun gets started with winners being announced daily from December 7th until December 22nd. Don't miss out on the savings and enter now, because this is something you don't want to miss. Just go online at support.giantcom.net and search giveaway to enter, or visit the Giant Communications or JBN Telephone Company Facebook page for more details. It's the 12 days of giveaways with Giant Communications and JBN Telephone Company. All right, again, the 12 days of giveaways going on right now. GiantCOMM.net for you to register, or visit Giant Communications or JBN Telephone Company's Facebook page, and you can register for that. So, Boz, we've got, again, what scores are we still needing? You can call in on the Giant Communications hotline and give us those scores, or talk about the game that you were at tonight, 785-547-3461. Boz, what scores are we still needing?
Okay. On the girls' side, we need Rock Hills at Axtell, Washington County at Centralia, Royal Valley at Riverside, ACCHS at McClouth, Pleasant Ridge at Moore Hill Mount Academy, Sumner Academy at Atchison. Those are some of the girls' scores that we need. And then on the boys' side of things, we need Rock Hills at Axtell, Washington County at Centralia, Onega at Hanover, Royal Valley at Riverside, ACCH at McClouth, Oskaloosa at Jeff County North, Pleasant Ridge at Marhill Mount Academy, Sumner Academy at Atchison, and Marysville at Chapman. Actually, we got a couple scores that just came in on the girls' side. Riverside, they defeated Royal Valley 61-21. On the boys' side of things, Riverside falls to Royal Valley 63-59.
Ooh, that sounded like a good boys' game.
Yeah, really good game.
I think that's one that we need to hear from somebody. Whoever just called that score in, call back, talk to us about it. Tell us about that game a little bit. You know, Boz, last week, again, we were KAIR game of the week for Atchison, 93.7 FM, is still in progress right now. Again, we're just kind of going to be waiting a little bit longer before we allow for this final ability to come together for tonight's show. JCN and Oskaloosa boys game still in the fourth quarter, but we will get to the rest of the show here in just a little bit once we get them on as well. But a week ago, Boz, we were talking about different things. We talked about it during football. We've talked about it here for basketball. We even referenced volleyball this past season as well, with the way that 1, 2, and 3A is different from 4, 5, and 6A when it comes to sub-states, regional, stuff like that, right?
Yeah.
And I think the conversation was ended last week by us talking about we need to see if we can get a hold of somebody.
Yeah.
And see if we can have a conversation on air, right?
Yep.
And we did it.
We did.
We did it. And so I want to thank Jeremy Holiday, who is with Keisha, the assistant executive director of Keisha. More than happy to join us here this evening. And this is a special treat, Boz. I'm going to bring Jeremy in with us right now. Jeremy, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. It's my pleasure to be with you all.
Jeremy, I appreciate you taking some time for us here tonight. Again, a big question that a lot of people have, me in particular, Boz as well, is kind of the structure with how things work with, you know, 4, 5, and 6A in basketball. You've got some states that are, you know, kind of ranked, I guess you would say, from top to bottom. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, 4, 5, and 6A, they split the state east versus west, and then they'll seed 1 through 16 or 1 through 18, technically, for if you look at a sport like basketball, and just seed them accordingly, and then put that into a big bracket and play essentially four sub-state tournaments to find the four teams on that side of state to go to the state tournament.
Because there's eight teams that go to state, so yeah, you break it down that way. So 1, 2, and 3A, we've talked about it. Boz and I, you know, when it was released a week and a half ago, about sub-state assignments and the different areas, and we saw there's a lot of teams that are in the top rankings that are in the same sub-state. And we, you know, I brought up the point of, man, I feel like this is year in and year out. What has to change in order for this to be similar for 1, 2, and 3A? Again, I thank you for coming on and kind of discussing this with me a little bit, but why is it different at 1, 2, and 3A compared to the 4, 5, and 6?
Well, you know, to understand why it's different would probably take a history lesson of that's way older than all three of us
combined
there a little bit, but yeah. So why is it different is in a nutshell is, well, the first thing you got to look at is for 3A, you're looking at 64 teams compared to 4A, you have 36 teams. So that right there tells you that you've just got a much bigger bracket to determine eight and then determine the one state champion. So if you look at the 30,000 foot level, that's the first thing you're going to see. And then obviously, the biggest philosophy for the longest time for the Kansas State High School Activities Association and its member schools that comprise the Activity Association was, let's make sure we keep travel to condensed as much as we can.
Sure.
For the postseason, because we're student athletes, right? So we want to make sure we're doing paying respect to the school time that they're supposed to have, even during the postseason. So if you look at the number of teams in the class, and then thinking about fundamentally, the philosophy is, hey, let's reduce travel, Then you get the regional, the sub-state, if you will, format that we currently have about finding a host and then finding the next seven teams that are within the closest to within that host. And that's just kind of the philosophy that the Activity Association has had for a long time.
And that's something that, again, like I just want to reiterate for listeners, is just it is because of a host. I mean, you try to get the regional teams surrounding it, and so it definitely, you know, can result in what we've seen, especially as of late. You know, even in the last decade, I feel like there's a lot of teams that could say, well, if we weren't in the same sub-state as X team, that's our league school and blah blah blah, we both could have been at a state tournament site. So what would it take? Or is it something that's possible for that to change to reflect closer to 4, 5, and 6A?
Yeah, I think you nailed it as far as the angst for a long time, especially in the northeast part of the state. A lot of the 2A and 3A and 1A schools that in a sub-state are two or three of the best in the state without question. And that means two or more not going to state and only one is. So, to your question, can it be changed? Absolutely it can, and that is something that we are currently looking at. And I think before you dive into it too far, you want to make sure people understand that any sort of policy and procedure and format that the Activities Association puts forth for any activity is vetted and approved and voted on by the schools that by the 352 high school member high schools that comprise the association. So those schools tell us what they want. And so we kind of look at different formats, but we are looking at various things to try to get closer to what 4, 5, and 6A do for 3, 2, and 1A. And we actually are going to do that for volleyball for sure and still formulating things for basketball.
Okay, so it is a change that is being made for volleyball in effect in the 2024 season. So you're not going to see the similar regional assignments for sub-states in order for, you know, again, like you got TVL schools that are beating each other up, basically, is for lack of better terms, or a Big Seven league school or NEKL or some of the leagues from our area. And so next year in volleyball, you can expect truly the quote unquote, I guess you could say, best of the best, battling it out to go to state?
Well, yeah, and that's all relative, right? Everybody's got a different opinion on that. But in a nutshell, yeah, what we're going to do starting next year for volleyball is the state will, in 3, 2, and 1A, whatever class you're in, you'll be divided into four regions of 16 teams in each region. And from there, they'll be divided into two different tournaments of that 16, and then they'll play out a postseason format, not to get into the just completely nuts and bolts of it, but in a nutshell, you have a bracket that'll do pool play, kind of like the regional format, and then you'll take the top two to a sub-state, and then the winner of that sub-state will move on to the state tournament. So the whole philosophy behind it is what you were talking about earlier is, hey, how do we divide it? If one and two in this traditional 18 sub-state are the top two teams in the state, well, those two are now going to get divided amongst 16 teams. And then theoretically, if you say that's how it should play out, then those two teams would make it to state. So it'll be it's similar. If you guys remember, I don't know, you remember when 1A was one class, they had that regional format.
Yeah.
And then if you actually lost in that regional tournament, the top two still went on to sub-state,
right,
and they cross-bracketed. So those people that have been in the game for a long time might kind of think of that in their head, and I'm not saying it's exactly like that, but you can see some similarities.
Again, we're talking with Keisha, Kansas State High School Activities Association Assistant Executive Director Jeremy Holliday, doing us a huge favor here, obviously. For lack of better words, right, Boz?
Yeah, absolutely.
And joining us here this evening, and I really appreciate your time, Jeremy, of just helping us understand, because that's where I left off last week was, if there's a reason for it, help me understand why this is what it is. And I'm glad to hear that volleyball's going to that status. And just a couple more minutes here with you, Jeremy, if you don't mind. And that's just, what do you think, if you can tell me, how close are we to a similar style for basketball, like you said, that we're switching to volleyball for next year?
Well, I'd say we're pretty close. Recently, during the October Regional Board Administrator meetings, which are meetings put on throughout the state with principals and ADs and superintendents, a proposal was looked at for basketball. It did not ultimately get a favorable response from the schools, because I think there's just a few things calendar-wise that just didn't quite line up to what could make sense for schools in the postseason. So
okay.
Basically what that told us is let's go back to the drawing board and look what's more appeasing to every school, 1A through 3A, and figure out what format gets us closer to where we want to be. And so just to be blunt with your question, I think we're closer than we've ever been. It's just a matter of really fine-tuning it a little bit to see if we can get to the next step in the proposal.
Just getting some details ironed out, sounds like. I mean, if I could take a stab at it, I mean, you and I talked off air a little bit about it, and you kind of helped me try to understand ahead of time, but just for our listeners' sake, you referenced the calendar, and the reason why it's different from volleyball to, say, basketball is that volleyball can get taken care of in a day or so or 2 days, where basketball, it's potential that could take a couple weeks.
Yeah, if you look at trying to get boys and girls tournaments played, and also if you think, well, maybe making sure that Riverside's boys and girls are in the same tournament, you know, okay, that means you might not be able to seed it 1 through 16, because that means they could be going opposite directions.
Sure.
But at the same time, that's how people need to think about this. Well, is that important or not? And if it is, then you got to go this way. If it's not, then you got to go this way. And so at some point between seeding a bracket and finding the right host and who can host, who has a gym size that can host the thousands of fans that could show up. And then the other piece of this that I know a lot of people don't think about it until they're right there on the court is officials. And
sure,
we've got to make sure we assign capable officials to officiate the games. And that's all part of the calendar. That's all part of the time, the process that goes into putting on a sub-state basketball postseason. So there's a lot of ins and outs, and you just got to weigh the pros and the cons and know that if you're going to get what you want, you're probably going to give a little on another side of it when it comes to the postseason. And that's what we're trying to iron out with the schools right now.
Well, Jeremy, I really appreciate it. I wanted to leave you with one final thing, and that was, you reference officiating, and the Kansas State High School Activities Association is still in desperate need of officials. Is that a fair statement still?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I'd like that our numbers, if we just look at total numbers, I feel like we're getting steady. However, we're not near where we were 15 years ago or 20 years ago. So we need more people to try this, the advocation out. And I can just tell you one thing from someone that does it, it's a heck of a lot of fun. It
sure
really is.
And it pays decent, dadgummit. You know? I mean, come on. What else
are
you going to do?
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, how many of the listeners out there haven't touched a ball or been on a court or been on a field since they stepped off their senior year?
Right.
A good way to get back out there, you know, and feel that competitive spirit again and have fun with some others that are trying to do it with you. And by the way, when you walk out of the gym or the locker room afterwards, they're going to hand you a check for doing a good job. So, hey, that's a win-win.
I mean, I think it sounds like a win-win, Bob.
Yeah.
You know?
It is. I'm going to tell you right now, though, I don't belong anywhere near the court being an official.
Well, Jeremy, I mean, obviously, again, I really appreciate you taking some time to chat with us about that, the situation, and just kind of get some clarity a little bit on it. And folks, if you've got interest in being an official, you know, Jeremy, where can they go to find out more information about that?
Yeah, just go to kshsaa.org, and we have an officials tab, and they can kind of tell you all about what you need to know. But odds are the best thing you could do is I guarantee you most of you people know someone that is an official. Just go up and talk to them, and they'll take you along for the ride. So, because it's a pretty good fraternity out there, and I know you guys, I know a lot of people in your listening area are officials for the Activity Association, so I don't want to miss the opportunity to say thank you and just keep up the good work for the kids that are competing.
Jeremy, I really appreciate your time, man. Again, have a great weekend. And again, I mean, I might be calling on you again, brother, to have you chime in for us a little bit.
Hey, I'm here anytime you need me.
All right, Jeremy Holliday, the Assistant Executive Director for the Kansas State High School Activities Association, joins us here tonight. Boz, a great special treat for us, again, just to get a little bit more clarity on where we're at right now with what we've discussed numerous times throughout this season.
Yeah, and here's my thing on it. You know, we've talked about this a whole bunch, and at any point where we are moving toward or trying to get to the point where we can have a playoff system and a ranking system as opposed to the sub-state system that we have now, I think that's a good thing.
Sure.
Having the conversation. And it sounds like Keisha is trying to work out the kinks in that system. They've got some ideas. They've got some challenges that they're trying to work through. But that's, for me, that's what I like to see is, all right, they know
it's
this,
working.
Yeah, they know that maybe there is a better system. We've got to figure out how to get there.
Yeah. Got to figure it out. And again, I just, a lot of people, you know, they want to throw some flack. And, you know, I'm not one that's not one that's done it. Again, I mean, Jeremy and I, go way back, and I was very thankful that he would jump on and chat with us. And again, just kind of give some clarity. So breaking news, I guess, if you hadn't heard yet, is that volleyball from 1A to 6A next year will be in that ranking format, top to bottom. Pretty cool to expect that for next year.
And that's pretty interesting format. I like that with the different regions or the regionals and taking the 16 teams and breaking them down. And I mean, I think it gives you a more realistic opportunity to work through a bracket and get those top teams moving forward.
I think that's what we all want, right?
Yeah.
I mean, at 100%. A state site, you're wanting the 8 best teams competing. I don't care if they're from the same league or from 30-mile radius from each other. We want the best 8 teams out of the state tournament.
100%.
All right, it's time for us to take our first break, as we will be linked up with CARE 93.7 here in just a moment. JC and Oskaloosa wrapping up on the boys' side here this evening. We still need some more scores from you, Boz. Why don't you give us what we still need?
Okay, here's what we need on the girls' side. Rock Hills at Axtell, ACCHS at McClouth, Pleasant Ridge at Moorhill Mount Academy, and Sumner Academy at Atchison. We're getting close on the girls' side.
How about on the guys' side, Boz?
On the boys' side, Rock Hills at Axtell, ACCHS at McClouth, Oskaloosa at Jeff County North, Pleasant Ridge at Moorhill Mount Academy, and Sumner Academy at Atchison. We're getting there.
785-547-3461. Give us those calls. We got recaps coming up next.
This is Mitch Otmer, Regional Market President for Nemaw County at Community National Bank. As Regional Market President, my primary focus is the lending departments in both Seneca and Sabetha. And in Nemaw County, our biggest thing we do is ag lending. I think people want to come see us because I do have a lot of experience. I've been here 17 years. Come see me for help financing your farm, business, or purchasing your next home.
You feel right at home.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Helena Agri Enterprises in Centralia, Seneca, Bern, and Home City are driven by the success of our customers. Founded in 1957, we've grown to be one of the nation's foremost agricultural and specialty formulators. Our crop protection products, fertilizer, and application services are just a few of the things we do to help our customers succeed. Put our local people to work for you. Call or see us at Helena Agri Enterprises in Seneca, Centralia, Bern, and Home City.
Dennison State Bank, putting your interests at heart.
Financial advice can be confusing. Denison State Bank can help you sift through the clutter and find clarity. Our staff has decades of experience in helping customers make the right choices. For sound banking guidance, see us in Holton Point, Meriden, and Topeka.
Denison State Bank, putting your interests at heart.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
If you're near retirement or thinking about retiring, you probably have a lot of questions. How do you make your savings last? How much should you take out and when? You're ready for retirement, but are your finances? I'm Edward Jones financial advisor Shannon Wright. Let's work together to help ensure your finances can keep up with your unique needs over the long haul. You've done what it takes to get there. Now it's time to make the most of retirement. Call Jeff Russell in Sabetha, Red Edwards in Hiawatha, or me, Shannon Wright in Holden. Edward Jones, Making Sense of Investing, member SIPC.
On your way to the game or on the ride home from the game, stop by McDonald's in Seneca or Hiawatha for a meal or just for a snack. There's a variety of delicious items to choose from on their menu, and you can get them to go. Why cook before or after the game? Stop in for your favorite drink or ice cream treat like a McFlurry or an ice cream cone. Or one of your favorite sandwich like a Big Mac or a Quarter Pounder. Whether you're headed to or from the game, stop by McDonald's in Hiawatha or Seneca.
Don't let your internet connection fall short this season. As the leaves change and the temperature drops, it's the perfect time to cozy up and enjoy blazing fast internet. When you switch to the high-speed internet service this fall, you'll receive a free month of service. Say goodbye to slow, unreliable connections, and hello to streaming, gaming, and working from home with ease. Embrace the season of change with Change for the Better at Giant Communications. This offer available for a limited time, so you better act fast. Visit GiantCOMM.net for all details for the Fall into Savings promotion going on right now at Giant Communications.
Folks, I don't think Bozzy realized I made his mic hot right
Come
there.
Come on. Got to get excited when that starts playing,
That's
though.
That's right. Every single week, Boz, we ask questions. What are the questions?
Was your team doing the rocking? Or?
Were they getting rocked?
There you go.
It's time now to get us some scores for this evening. December the 15th. 5 at 11 o'clock Eastern, and I'm not even tired yet.
No.
You get that reference. Shout out SVP. 44 degrees outside, and I'm in shorts. Never, unless it's less than 35, buddy. It's hot in here.
It is hot in here. It's always hot.
Some of these basketball games was hot tonight, Boz. Who do we got?
They were. Let's get you some boys' score. Tonight, Centralia defeated Washington County 54-42. Valley Heights gets the win over Donovan West 49-24. Hanover takes it 2-0 tonight, 80-28. Holton gets the win over Hiawatha, 56-39. Sabetha defeated Jefferson West, 68-38. Perry Lake Compton, they get the victory over Nemaha Central, 42-36. Royal Valley, they got a win in a close one, 63-59 over Riverside.
I want to hear about that game.
I know. That was a really close game. Another close game for the majority of it. Horton and Jackson Heights. Horton pulled away at the end. They get the 10-point win, 52-42.
Yeah.
But again, a close game throughout the majority of that one. And then Marysville, they get the win over Chapman, 52-45. Those are boys.
All right.
Scores.
A couple of the boys games that you're talking about. You mentioned Jackson Heights against Horton. That was a kind of a big time matchup in the NEKL early in this season.
Yeah, Horton's 4-0 at the time before tonight's game. Jackson Heights was 3-1, so big time matchup. And again, this was kind of back and forth all the way through the game. And Horton, really, really good team. They're coming off a fantastic season last year.
Yeah.
But Jackson Heights, you've talked a lot about them, and they hung right with them tonight.
It's my dark horse pick of the year, but I'm telling you that, again, if you want to be the best, Boz, what do you
got
to do?
You got to beat the best.
And right now the best in the NEKL is the Horton Chargers. Coach Lowe, he's got that team right back where they were a season ago. They're in rhythm. But this was their biggest test of the season thus far, I feel like. At home against a rival, and it was a game that, like you mentioned, pretty competitive throughout. A Jackson Heights team, Boss, who they ended a losing streak against Pleasant Ridge last Friday of, what, 8 years, 7 years?
8 years. First time they beat them in eight years.
And then on Tuesday, they snap a skid against Mar Hill Mount Academy. And so this is a Jackson Heights team that's starting to get some things figured out themselves, but a Horton team, you can't take anything away from them. They are just they're just hooping right now.
Yeah, they are. I mean, it was a 5-point game, 26-21 at half. Jackson Heights giving them everything they want. And I think you're right. Jackson Heights is a team that they've got some weapons. They got really good guards. They got an exchange student that came in. That always helps your team.
Sure.
When you're not counting on somebody, and boom, all of a sudden we got another body Hey-o. That can score.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they're a team that's going to make some noise. And, you know, we talked about this a little bit early, you know, a couple weeks ago as the season was just starting. These first four, five, six games, if you're leading into break, it's really a measuring stick. I mean, it really kind of tells you where you're at early in the season. If you're Jackson Heights, I think you're probably pretty pleased with where you're at, knowing, obviously, that you're going to improve a lot after the first of the year.
They won five games all last year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, already this season, halfway to that point, you know, already at this point, and you're only a few games in. Let's talk about another big game from tonight was Nemaha Central against Perry LeCompton in the Big 7 League, and that was a close game. That was a tight game down the stretch. Perry, they were struggling, hit some free throws down the stretch, and Nemaha Central, a team that's been pretty battle-tested, and they've shown up this year. Tonight, though, the Caws come away with the victory.
Yeah, that's so Nemaha Central 3-1 going into tonight. Perry LeCompton 2-2, and I think Perry LeCompton trying to figure out kind of what team they're going to be. They lost a lot of kids last year to graduation, so and a lot of teams do lose, you know, their seniors. It depends on how big that class is, but Perry LeCompton trying to figure out really what their team's going to be made of, and Nemaha Central, they've had some close games, and they've come out on top of those. Perry LeCompton tonight actually surprised me a little bit the way that they end up with a six-point win, but in a tight ball game,
right,
with not a lot of experience on the court. Eli Dean, a guard for Perry LeCompton, dude can handle the ball. He's been playing since he's a freshman, quality player. It always helps when you have a guy like that that control the ball, and down the stretch you're going to be able to get those wins late.
And that's a big win for Perry. Again, Perry LeCompton, a team that was 2-2, 500 team coming into the game. They get a big-time win against Nemaha Central. Again, preseason, looking at it, you're looking at what? Nemaha, Perry, Sabetha for the top three in the league. And that was a big-time top-of-the-league matchup tonight. And Perry gets the edge here in round one against Nemaha this year.
Yeah, if you're Perry, like I say, I think you got to be really excited about getting that win and taking another step towards the top of the Big 7.
Sabetha, they took care of Jeff West tonight, pretty much at ease. You heard that game on 103.9. Christian McAfee, C-Mac, sounded like he was straight hooping himself tonight.
Yeah, McAfee, Bauman, those dudes they can flat play. And there are guys that were on last year's team that had just a crazy run all the way through the season. Didn't lose a ball game, stubbed their toe in the sub-state championship, didn't make it to state, but
Semis.
Okay. I knew they Nemaha Central knocked them off. And, you know, a team that goes undefeated throughout the entire season. And maybe got a little chip on their shoulder now. They're saying, hey, we didn't finish the deal last year.
Right.
But we're going to come out and flat get after it. And they are right now playing really good.
Those are the top games in league plays across our area that we were looking at here this evening. The final one just went final, Boz. And that was Oskaloosa at JCN. A Bears team coming in at 3-1, taking on a JCN Charger team that was, again, preseason kind of a top seven team. A JCN team that, you know, struggled here in the early going. They've taken on some pretty tough opponents in Horton earlier, last Friday, I guess, in that contest. And then, again, some tough opponents early. But tonight, the Chargers. Get the win over Oskaloosa tonight, 56-29. And so they bounce back. Again, it's just one of those things that we've heard it from Grandpa Gary, who calls in all the time.
I'm waiting.
They say they've got to get them legs under them. Tonight looks like the Chargers got that done. JCN upends Oskaloosa tonight. They now are 2-2 on the season. On the girls' side, Boz, we had some matchups tonight that, again, looking at them, thinking, okay, this could be some big-time potential for a pretty good game. Twin Valley League, you had Donovan West against Valley Heights in TVL action. Nemaha Central, Perry LeCompton, a couple of one-loss teams in the Big 7 League. Arguably the best game of the night was an overtime game at Sabetha between Jeff West and Sabetha. And then another one coming in that we were keeping our eye on was JCN against Oskaloosa on the girls' side. And then let me just mention this one because we still don't have the score. I don't think. Correct me if I'm wrong, but P. Ridge at Mar Hill.
No, we don't have that one.
Still needing that score because you got a 4-0 Ravens girls team against a 3-1 Lady Rams team. I need to know that final score and hear about that. But let's talk about the games that we know that went final. Washington County at Centralia, TVL action, big time matchup tonight.
Yeah, Centralia, this is a really good basketball team, and they, like you said, they took care of business 52-18. Yeah. They just didn't give Washington County anything tonight. And I think this Centralia team, they're one that was listed on our top seven teams in the preseason magazine, the Courtside Guide, and they're legit.
Yeah.
I mean, they've got some players, Dieters for Centralia.
Owen Dieters,
just fantastic ball player. I think Centralia is going to, they have an opportunity to go a long ways this year.
Staying in the TVL, D West at Valley Heights. D West, only a loss of the season came against Riverside. Tonight they travel to Valley Heights. Both you and I's dark horses on the girls' side this season of Mustangs team that's out to a 4-0 start coming into tonight's game.
Yeah, I think it's interesting to me, Donovan West, they're coming off a state championship last year. They'd lost several key pieces.
Three starters, Boz, again. And I do not want this to come across as disrespect to the current team because they're still really good.
Oh, absolutely.
But you lose three starters that in that state tournament, those three starters averaged almost 80% of your scoring in the state tournament.
Yeah.
Those are big shoes to fill, and it's going to take longer than 5-6 games to get that underneath you.
Well, you got to find new people to step into that role.
Correct.
And maybe they're not comfortable with it. Maybe they are, but they didn't have to last year.
Yeah.
So now they got to figure out, okay, where's our scoring going to come from? And they're putting points on the board.
They're putting points up, and they might have my favorite guard in our area, though, in Miss Brenna Edie. She is an undersized.
Yes.
If you're looking at it thinking, okay, if you want a guard that's going to be a tenacious defender, blah, 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 she is undersized, part of the spectrum. Dude, she can straight ball.
Well, she's tenacious. I mean, that girl.
Shout out Jack Black, some tenacious D, yeah?
Tenacious. Well, here's the thing. I'm not 100% sure on height, so I don't want to. Do you know what it is?
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm not going to say it either,
but she is undersized. But she will get in the paint against the trees and out-rebound them. It's just all hustle. It's all effort. She just doesn't give up on the play. And you're exactly right. I enjoyed the heck. We had the opportunity last year to broadcast that state championship run.
Yes, we did.
And it was a ton of fun. But you watch her play. If you haven't seen her play yet,
you need to watch her. Just get
out there and watch this girl. She plays with a ton of energy and emotion, and I love kids that get out there and give it their all.
You know, she reminds me of, again, this was not a, my English teachers are going to be really disappointed in me right now, because I don't know what it is. Is it an adjective? Is it a verb? Is it a...
Well, what word do you want to say?
A gnat.
A gnat?
A gnat, G-N-A-T.
That would be a noun, I think.
A noun, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Shout out to my English teachers. But years ago, there was a defender for Roll Valley.
Yeah.
And she was described, again, not by me, but I loved it, as just a gnat.
Yeah.
A pest on the defensive side that you just cannot get rid of. I mean, in the summertime, what's bugging you the most when you're trying to sit outside and enjoy a nice day?
It's that little bug that's flying around your face and in your ear.
You swat at it and it won't go anywhere.
You can't get rid of it.
That's Brenna Edie.
Absolutely.
On the defensive side.
She doesn't let you breathe. If you're trying to handle the ball and somebody's on you like that, it drives you crazy. It makes things really difficult.
Shout out to you, Miss Brenna Edie, for that. Okay, on the girls' side, still moving down the list here. So, yeah, Valley Heights takes care of business tonight. I don't think – did you say the score? I'm not sure if you did or not. We were talking about that recap.
Yeah,
but
Valley Heights 57, Donovan West 48. So
yeah, a good
game. Nine-point game.
Exactly. Yep. I wanted to make sure that we alluded to the fact that with all that, Valley Heights is a good team.
Yes, really good team.
And we knew that coming into the season. For whatever reason, they weren't getting the pub that they should have. Made it easy pickings for us on a team to watch out for. This season, Nemaha Central at Perry LeCompton, Boss, both 3-1, big time matchup in the Big 7 League.
I think this it goes a long ways to show kind of the separation within the Big 7 on the girls' side of things. Both teams 3-1, Nemaha Central, year in, year out, Nemaha Central just has really good basketball, really good athletes, super competitive all the time, 46-15. They defeat another 3-1 team, 46-15. So Nemaha Central, another really good basketball team.
Sure.
And you know, if we were looking at teams to keep eyes on and what kind of noise they're going to make, Nemaha Central's girls,
yeah.
you have to include them
sure.
in that conversation.
Absolutely.
All the time.
Absolutely. You got to watch out for them. Let's go back really quickly here to the Valley Heights Donovan West game. I did get confirmation on height.
Okay.
Okay. 5'3", maybe.
Oh, okay. Yes. I was going to throw out 5'4", but I didn't.
All right.
You know, I was close.
But again, just tenacious. And she scored 20 points tonight, too.
Oh, come on.
Come on. So, yeah, look out, Brenda Eady. We're going to be talking about her, I think, quite a bit this season. Update score-wise for you just got it. Mar Hill, Pleasant Ridge on the girls' side. Mar Hill Mounts Academy, Boz. Again, that was a game in the NEKL that we're looking at thinking, man, P. Ridge 3-1. We watched them last week against Jackson Heights. They
impressed.
Got some size. They got some really good shooters. Going to Mar Hill, an undefeated Lady Ravens team. Mar Hill wins 47-25 to its stay perfect on the season.
Woo-hoo.
So big shout out to the Ravens for, again, I mean, just maintaining this Lady Ravens team is one to look out for.
I'm telling you, we saw Pleasant Ridge last week, and I was really impressed. They had three girls that I really saw that stood out. You know, I mean,
sure.
Oftentimes you may have one really good player. You maybe have two, but when you got three,
that's a
tough combination. And they did. They had three girls that could score, that could shoot. They got ball handlers, you know, all those pieces you want. So I was really impressed with Pleasant Ridge. So Mar Hill, beating them by 22.
Yeah. Hello.
Oh,
wake up.
Statement right there.
Right. Massive statement win early in the season. And get this. I mean, thank you again, for Joseph Curry as Care has joined us. Joseph doing great work down there at CARE. He was able to forward this on to me from Whitney McGinnis, the athletic director for Mar Hill. So, again, if you're an athletic director out there, feel free. You can just scan and email us the box scores. That'd be great. But a box score here that I can look at, Bonds. Mar Hill Mounts Academy, 11. P. Ridge, 2 points in the fourth quarter.
Ooh.
And every single quarter for Mar Hill, except for the first, they scored 9 in the first – or 14 in the first quarter – so every quarter except for the second, excuse me, they scored double digits.
Yeah.
And that's difficult to do in a high school basketball game. But you look at P. Ridge, 5 in the first quarter, 8 in the second, 2 in the fourth. That is some good defense.
Oh,
because
yeah.
we saw how that offense could be potent.
Yeah. No, and that is really impressive for Mar Hill. You're shutting down those three girls we talked about. When they can score. I mean, they can shoot. You got a couple girls that they don't hesitate pulling the trigger on threes. You got a couple girls that can get inside and bang. So for Mar Hill to shut them down in a couple different quarters like that, that's impressive.
And then just to give everybody an update on the boys' side of that same matchup, Mar Hill, the Raven boys, they bounce back after their loss on Tuesday to Jackson Heights. They win tonight 61-46. P. Ridge still looking for that first win on the boys' side of things. Now the another matchup on the girls' side, Boz, that we wanted to bring up was Oskaloosa at JCN, a JCN Lady Chargers. Wow, that was terrible.
Oh, yeah, that was horrible.
That was awful. The Chargers. That's better.
That's better.
Lady Chargers, 2-2, a top 17 coming into the season, taking on an Oskaloosa Bears team that is kind of taken early season by storm. 3-1 tonight. JCN gets the win, 55-46. Over Oskaloosa to improve and even up those two teams' records at 3-2.
And like I mentioned earlier, JCN, a team that was listed in the top seven area girls teams, getting some preseason hype. But you start out your season, and we've been talking about it a lot, really, how difficult it is early in the season. You're trying to get people in the right spots. You're trying to, you know, get your offenses to execute at a high level, which is really difficult when you're just putting stuff in. And I think really for JCN, they're just kind of finding their way right now. But you're putting up 55 points. You knock off a 3-1 team.
Yep.
Early in the season, that does a lot for your confidence moving forward in this last week before the break.
Some of the big-time games that we just talked about, those were some ones that were interesting and important for whether it's record or league style. Final girls game that really was the game of the night. You heard it on 103.9 KNZA. Brandon Tadman, Boz. It was Jeff West at Sabetha. Overtime on the girls' side. And Jeff West, the Tigers, get the win 40-37 over the Blue Jays in a just, again, an impressive one on that side of things. In the Big 7 League. And then, yeah, we got one more in the NEKL we'll get to in a second. But Jeff West picking up a big-time road win tonight at Sabetha.
Yeah, Jeff West is they're young. They've got a new coach this year, so they're getting new systems, things like that. That's Sabetha historically has had really, really good basketball teams
on
the ladies' side. I mean, they're competitive year in, year out. They've made state runs. It is tough to win at Sabetha. So for Jeff West going up there with a little bit of a younger team and getting a three-point win in overtime, that says a lot about your team, able to maybe handle some adversity early on after losing some games early this season. Impressive win for Jeff West to get that W at Sabetha.
Yeah, no doubt. And then the final girls matchup that was a big one just because of maybe just looking at potential.
Yeah.
Maybe looking at getting on the right track heading into the break, maybe. Jackson Heights girls at Horton, the Fighting Gary Sorensens, the OG.
Yeah.
And we watched the end of that game on the Cobra Channel. Again, at scsports.net, you can check out all the area games that we broadcasted, whether it was on radio or on a channel, and recapture the action. But we watched at the end, and you looked at me and said, this is old school basketball.
Well, in a tight ball game like that, Coach Sorensen, been around for a long, long time, fantastic coach. And we talked about it early this season. You know, he's going to get the best out of his players. He's going to have them in the right spots. They're going to execute.
Yeah.
They're going to control the ball. When it gets late in the game like that, we got to see about the last 3 minutes or so, and it was a tie ball game. Horton goes up by, I think, three, and then there's some free throws. It's just nip and tuck. And
yeah.
I told you, I put my money on Horton girls just because we were watching, and Coach Sorensen, he's up there, he's communicating, he's talking. And they did. They controlled the ball. Jackson Heights had to go out and foul. They made free throws. Just clutch down the stretch. And my coaching side,
yeah.
That's some good coaching.
You loved it.
I loved it.
You loved to see it. G, again, at the ripe age, young, I mean, again, fountain of youth is what he's drinking out of right now.
Something, yeah.
Impressive. Yep. On the sidelines for the Horton Lady Chargers as Horton picks up their second win of the year against Jackson Heights tonight. And shout out to Max, who just called in and gave us some scores buzz that we'll get to before we go to our next break.
All right, so on the girls' side, we did get the score. Axtell 32, Rock Hills 26.
Tight one.
On the boys, Axtell, they defeat Rock Hills 68-31.
Not so tight one.
Not so tight.
All right, buddy, give me the girls' scores, and then we'll take a break, and we come back. We'll get the boys.
Okay, the girls' scores tonight. We just read that one. Axtell 32, Rock Hills 26. Centralia defeats Washington County 52-18. Valley Heights gets the win over Donovan West 57-48. Hanover defeated Onega 66-28. Hiawatha gets the win over Holton 38-32. Jefferson West, we just talked about that one, an overtime win. Jefferson West defeats Sabetha 40-37. Nemaha Central 46, Perry Compton 15. Riverside gets the win over Royal Valley 61-21. Horton gets the win over Jackson Heights 49-44. Jeff County North defeated Oskaloosa 55-46. Pleasant Ridge, they fall to Mar Hill Mount Academy 47-25. And Marysville, they defeat Chapman 43-36.
We'll tell you what scores we still need and give you the boys' scores when we come back. You're hanging out with Jake and Boz on the Community National Bank High School Scoreboard Show. Recaps coming up next.
This is Mitch Otmer, Regional Market President for Nemaha County at Community National Bank. As Regional Market President, my primary focus is the lending departments in both Seneca and Sabetha. And in Nemaha County, our biggest thing we do is ag lending. I think people want to come see us because I do have a lot of experience. I've been here 17 years. Come see me for help financing your farm, business, or purchasing your next home.
You feel right at home, Community National Bank.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Secure peace of mind for 2024. Hi, this is Brett with Naughty Pine Oil Company. We are your local, third-generation, family-owned source for bulk fuel, serving Northeast Kansas. I am inviting you now to lock in your fuel price for 2024. Prepay before year end and enjoy stability in your fuel costs. Act now and call 785-364-3711 today for more details.
Hello, my name is Sarah Lukert, and I am a certified health coach at Lukert Chiropractic and Wellness. My specialty is teaching our patients not only how to eat well, move well, and think well, but setting up practical, simple plans to eat clean, exercise responsibly, and remain accountable to their wellness goals. Health goals are so much easier to attain when you have someone to coach you along the way. Call Lukert Chiropractic and Wellness in Sabetha at 284-0088 for your free consultation today.
Hard to believe we're already packing away combines and grain carts. Harvest is behind us, but before you put everything away for the off-season, Bruna Implement, your local Case IH dealer, invites you to take advantage of special financing, cash discount, or prepay options with their winter service special. Schedule today to be ready to go when the next season rolls around. Bruna Implement, your local Case IH dealer, with locations in Washington, Clay Center, Marysville, Hiawatha, Seneca, and Humboldt, Nebraska.
American Family Insurance.
As your American Family Insurance agent in Holton, I'm looking out for what matters most to you, even when nothing's wrong. This is Brad Noller, agent. Call me at 785-364-3302 and let's talk about your insurance needs today. Contact Brad Noller, agent, at 364-3302 or stop by one of our three locations on the Holton Square or Topeka today.
American Family Mutual Insurance Company, SI, and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Don't let your internet connection fall short this season. As the leaves change and the temperature drops, it's the perfect time to cozy up and enjoy blazing fast internet. When you switch to the high-speed internet service this fall, you'll receive a free month of service. Say goodbye to slow, unreliable connections, and hello to streaming, gaming, and working from home with ease. Embrace the season of change with Change for the Better at Giant Communications. This offer available for a limited time, so you better act fast. Visit GiantCOMM.net for all details for the Fall into Savings promotion going on right now at Giant Communications.
What do you think, Buzz?
Yeah.
Huh? Let's go. You're hanging out with Jake and Boz on the Community National Bank High School Scoreboard Show. As we've got more scores to get to you, recaps are coming up here in just a second. On the 15th of December, folks, it's the final Community National Bank High School Scoreboard Show until 2024.
Oh, 2024.
That sounds crazy.
It does.
I mean, we're a week and a few days away from Christmas.
Yeah, I can't believe that either.
You got everything bought yet?
Not so much.
Didn't sound very confident.
Not so much.
Okay. All right. How about the guys' scores?
Okay. Guys' scores from tonight. Axel, they defeat Rock Hill 68-31. Centralia gets the win over Washington County 54-42. Valley Heights, they defeat Donovan West 49-24. Hanover gets the win over Onega 80-28. Holton, they defeat Hiawatha 56-39. Sabetha, they're victorious over Jefferson West 68-38. Perry LeCompton gets
easy
the.
For you to say.
I've been stumbling over these all night.
Rumbling, stumbling.
Perry LeCompton, they defeat Nemaha Central 42-36. Royal Valley, close game here against Riverside. Royal Valley gets the win 63-59. Horton defeats Jackson Heights 52-42. Jeff County North 56, Oskaloosa 29. Moore Hill Mount Academy, they get the win over Pleasant Ridge 61-46, and Marysville, they defeat Chapman 52-45.
All right, so let's give a quick little rundown. What scores do we still need?
Okay, on the boys' side, ACCH at McClouth.
ACC what?
ACCHS.
There you go.
What'd I say?
ACCH.
S.
Addison County Community
High. Hi. That's all right. We can do that, too. I don't know what's going on here. But
that's all right.
Sumner Academy at Atchison. We need that. We only need two scores on the guys' side.
Phenomenal.
Yes. Or no, excuse me. That was the girls' side.
Okay.
Girls' side.
Still phenomenal.
And actually, the same score. Same ones on the boys and girls.
So two games. We need ACCHS's game against who?
McClouth.
And then we also need A-High taking on Sumner Academy.
A-High, they're 4-0.
Come on now. Phoenix.
What's going on? I want to see if they made it to 5-0.
We need the Phoenix.
Phoenix.
The Phoenix. And, so give us a shout. 785-547-3461. Giant Communications Hotline is open for you. You can still chat about a game that you were at tonight. Give us some of the input, the insight that you saw. But ultimately, we need two game scores remaining yet. Again, at Atchison High, the Phoenix taking on Sumner Academy and ACCHS taking on McLouth. We need those games to get our – that would be the first week
we've got
everybody. Yep.
That's all we need.
I think we're already way ahead, though, from previous weeks.
Yes.
On scores.
Yes. Yep, we are.
So we're making some progress. People getting into the groove of the basketball version of the high school scoreboard show presented by Community National Bank.
A little different.
Got to keep things going.
Yep.
We know that some things are going to change with the show after the first of the year. First off, we're going to have an open that's talking a little bit about basketball.
Yeah.
Secondly, we're going to be going to some games.
Yes.
And we're going to and we're going to be giving out some gift cards.
Let's go.
Giving away some gift cards after the first of the year. And Captain Kirk Kilman, no, sir, no gift card for you. You got to see us at the games.
You come back in to get a, get a gift card.
Big thanks to Captain Kirk Kilman, Ray Penning up here at Colin Feldkamp up here at the Kansland Studios, and Joseph Curry still hanging out with us, Boz, down in Atchison.
Yeah,
doing great work as always for us producing this thing down there as well. But yeah, we'll be giving away gift cards at the after the first of the year. Basically, find us.
Yep.
I'll be wearing my Ravens gear as always. You'll be wearing your no.
I may have to change it up.
You're gonna get people all sorts confused.
No, they just, if they're paying attention, they're listening to the show. They're gonna know.
All right.
Because I was wearing North Dakota Fighting Hawk stuff. My son's playing up there during
North
football.
Dakota.
Had to do that.
Yeah.
Don't even. Come on.
Don't even.
I think I'm gonna flip to the Hawks.
Rock.
Yeah. You know what's great about it, Boz, is that I control your mic. Yeah. What's up?
You can't turn me off. I'll be sporting my Hawks gear. Rock chop.
We'll give more details as that comes about. Okay, we'll give you some recaps now. I know you've been waiting for them. Luger Chiropractic and Wellness Game Ball nominees as well. We'll give you what we've got so far. You can call the Giant Communications Hotline, 785-547-3461, and give us a nominee of a game that you were at tonight as well. Let's start off in the Big 7 League, Boz. Hiawatha traveled to Holton tonight, and it was a split. Seth Tollefson took care of business tonight on both the Hiawatha and Holton channels here this evening.
It was a Big 7 League battle in Holton tonight as the Redhawks came calling, and it was a split tonight between the hometown Wildcats and the visitors from Hiawatha. We'll start things off with the girls' game as it was Hiawatha in this one trailing 5-0. Holton opened up the scoring and went up 5-0 to start the game, but Hiawatha would then go on a run of their own, and they led it 13-5 midway through the first. They would lead it 18-7 at the end of that first period. Hiawatha would push that lead to 25-17 at half, but Holton wasn't done as a made three by the freshman Tinley Wilson to end the third quarter would make it a 30-28 game. But then Hiawatha would able to finish off the rest of the game scoring, outscoring Holton by four. 38-32 is your final. In the losing effort, they were led in scoring a great night by Elizabeth Schuster. Despite Abby Elfner having a good night on offense in the first half, Schuster with the responsibility of guarding her all night long. She also finished with 15 points, and in the second half, she held Elfner to just 2 points. Abby Elfner leading the way for Hiawatha in the winning effort. She had 14 points, and then Addison Williams as well in double figures as the sophomore finished with 10 points. In the nightcap then, another close game, at least for the first three quarters of the game, as Holton led it 19-7. Hiawatha again trailing by as many as 8 in the first period. They would cut it down to as many as 2, though, by the third period. The score was 28-21 at the end of the half and then 38-32 at the end of 3. Holton, though, would go on a run early on in the fourth quarter and, again, run away with it in the end as Holton wins it big, 56-39. Another tough night shooting for Cameron Boswell. He was 0-for-6 from behind the arc. As far as for Hiawatha, again, the dynamic duo, Ethan Morton and Caden Morton, the brothers, going to work tonight as Caden with 13 and Ethan with 11. As far as for Holton, they had 3 players in double figures as Bodie Dillon led all scorers with 16 points. He was also 8 of 10 from the free throw line. Corbin Fox, he had 2 quick made threes. In fact, he had the first 8 points of the game. Corbin Fox with 10 and then Braden Peake with 10 as well. Another big stat in this one, both teams missed 5 free throws. However, for Hiawatha, they were 4 of 9, while Holton was 15 of 20. Again, your final scores from Holton. Hiawatha Lady Redhawks win it 38-32. They improve to 1-4 while Holton drops to 1-4. And then the nightcap, Holton gets the win 56-39. The Wildcats now 2-3 while the Redhawks fall 2-2-3. Reporting for the MSC Sports Radio Network, I'm Seth Tollefson.
All right, Seth, thanks so much for that recap. A split in Holton tonight, Boz, in the Big 7 League. Yep. The guys from Holton upend Hiawatha on the girls' side, a close game. And Hiawatha comes out on top, first win of the year.
Yeah, here's the deal. You know, Holton girls, no excuses. Hiawatha played good enough to win the ball game.
Yeah.
And they're, you know, that's a team that had a really good season last year.
Yeah.
It's kind of same deal. They graduated a lot of scoring. They're trying to find ways to fill those gaps. But Holton's kind of on a little bit of a struggle bus with some injuries. And, you know, Brooke Wilcott, she's out with the foot injury. We had girls that the point guard, Kaya Taylor, she's out with a concussion. So.
Yeah.
They're down on what their typical lineup is. So kind of struggling early for Holton girls right now, but that's a good win for Hiawatha.
Now we'll go to the NEKL, Jackson Heights at Hortson. We talked about this game a little bit in depth on both the girls and the guys' side. And tonight, the Chargers. Gosh darn it. Help me out here.
You're out of control tonight. Chargers.
There we go. Got to get a little bit of a growl for the Chargers. Hortson. They sweep Jackson Heights tonight. Crendon Prophet from the Cobra Channel has a recap.
Hello, everybody. This is Crendon Prophet down here at the Horton courtside. We're the varsity sweep for the Horton girls and Horton boys. Starting off, the Cobra girls took on the Horton Chargers, both teams 1-3. It was a tough game that looked like it went the Cobra's way, starting from the first quarter, ending 21-6. Ending the halftime, it was 27-12. The Cobras were running the tables. Austin Cochran ending the game with 20 points and Bosley with 11. But surprisingly enough, randomly within the third quarter, a stretch occurred for the Chargers where they just went crazy. In the third quarter, they outscored the Cobras 12-7, and in the fourth quarter, they outscored them 24-10. The Chargers only put up 23 points in their first three quarters, and they put up the exact same points, plus one, in the fourth, and they came up with the victory. 49-44. Player of the game was given to Melissa Banks, number 31, from the Chargers. She posted 13 points on the game, multiple rebounds, but she was great stealing and playing defense. On to the boys' side of the things. The Cobra boys played against the Horton boys, a game that was very quickly a shootout. The Cobra boys did come out on top of the first quarter, and then at halftime, they trailed 21-16, only down by 5. However, things changed entering the fourth quarter. Their largest lead was up by 12. The Cobras were able to bring it within 5-4 at a couple of points, but overall they just weren't able to keep up with the Horton Chargers, and the Chargers were able to jump up on a 52-42 victory. So the Chargers team, they'll actually progress to 5-0 in NEKL play, and the Cobra boys will drop to 3-1. So there's your top two teams in NEKL in a huge matchup. Player of the game I gave it to was Dante Masquale, who posted up 17 points, 6 rebounds, and went absolutely crazy. So that being said, that was the Horton courtside. This has been Credit Profit. Have a Merry Christmas.
All right, Merry Christmas back to you too as well. I mean, hey, he knows this is their last show, man. He had to get that little shout out.
He did it. Yep.
A little Merry Christmas, Happy New Year to you from the Cobra commentator, Credit Profit. But again, Horton, big time wins tonight. That's on the both girls and guys side.
Yeah, yeah, those are really good wins for him for sure.
All right, now let's go over back now, Boz, to the Big 7 League. Nemaha Central at Perry Lecompton. And a couple really, really good games tonight. Jared Sleppy had the call on 92.1 FM, KMZA.
Nemaha Central girls win handily 46-15 here in Perry. And to say Nemaha Central was dominant in the first quarter would be an understatement. They outscored them 13-0 in the first 8 minutes of the game, kind of taking a book out of the football team's playbook. As for the second quarter, the Cavs got going a little bit. Taylor Damey made a couple of field goals. In the end, the Thunder ramped it back up and had a 27-8 lead going into the half. The Thunder defense persisted in the second half by only allowing one field goal make in the third quarter, and then they held them to another scoreless fourth quarter to get the final score to 46-15. In the boys' game, it was tight throughout the entire first half. Ronnie Baker scoring 5 points in the first quarter for the Cavs, and Eli Dean adding 4 more. Dean continued staying hot in the second quarter. He single-handedly kept them in the game because he scored all of the team's 9 points in that quarter. Meanwhile, Abe Hilbert from Nemaha Central was establishing his dominance in the paint, had a couple of and ones. and it was an Nemaha Central 23-22 lead going into the break. As for the third quarter, Pair of the Compton would see Cooper Trendle off the bench come up big. A couple of big-time baskets and some breakaway layups as well from Aiden Graves. Cause retook the lead 35-31 going into the fourth quarter. Both defenses stepped up in a big way in the final frame with only two combined made field goals. However, it was the Cause that made some clutch free throws, got some big-time stops, and held on for the win. Final score 42-36. Up next for Nemaha Central will be Sabetha on Tuesday night. That game will be on KMZA and on the Sabetha channel. As for Pair of the Compton, they travel to Hoyt, for a Big 7 showdown against Royal Valley to wrap up their 2023 portion of the schedule. From Perry, this has been Jared Slubby for the MSC Sports Radio Network.
Thanks, Slep. Again, just two really, really good games over there at Perry LeCompton, Nemaha Central, and Perry Boz. And again, it's going to be a tight stretch, tight down the stretch, especially on the guys' side, especially with those two when you're talking about them.
Yeah, like I said earlier, Perry LeCompton, they took a big step, kind of getting themselves in the talk. I think Big 7, you've obviously got Sabetha at the top, but Nemaha Central was one of those that was right there, and Perry LeCompton gets the win, knocks him off tonight.
Yeah, especially with Sabetha, team that's kind of struggling right now with certain games. I mean, they're a team that, you know, is there blood in the water right now at the top of the Big 7 league, Buzz?
I think it's still awfully early.
Very early.
I think the Big 7 might be a little more wide open than people think.
I mean, Sabetha's 4-1 now, a big win tonight against Jeff West. But you're looking at, a couple 3-2 teams now with Nemaha and Perry. You got Hiawatha 2-3, Holton 2-3. I mean, it's super early in league play. However, this could be, am I wrong with this? This could be maybe the best the Big 7 top to bottom has been?
Yeah, I think that's a fair statement. Because the last several years in the Big 7, you've had some pretty dominant teams at the top. Nemaha Central, Sabetha, they've always kind of been right there. Holton's been in that mix. Riverside's had some really good teams in the past that's kind of been right there. Royal Valley for years, for a 4 or 5 year stretch, they were one of the top teams in the state. They kind of had those top positions solidified. Now, I think it's watered down just a little bit. We'll have to see what happens second half of the year.
Sabetha took on Jeff West tonight at home, talking about Big 7 teams. Who's at the top? Who's going to be the ones that we're looking at into February, early March? Jeff West, Sabetha, girls game. It took overtime. In the boys game, it was a running clock. Brandon Tadman had the call.
A Big 7 split Friday night at Sabetha, Jefferson West, and the Blue Jays. And the girls game, it was certainly exciting. A lot of ebbs and flows. Boys game, exciting early, but turned into a blowout. Let's start in the girls' game. Jeff West, an overtime thriller by a final score of 40-37. Both teams entered the game struggling to score, both with losses to ranked teams in the first few weeks of the season. Expected it to be close. No team had a lead bigger than 5 at any portion of the game. Fast forward to the end, an opportunity for Jeff West to close it out with potential free throws, left the door open for the Blue Jays. Final possession in the last 20 or so seconds. Three straight consecutive threes that were missed by the Blue Jays that would tie the game. Three straight offensive rebounds kept it alive. And on the very fourth one, the fourth and final one of the possession, Cameron Duryea with a three from the top of the key with the final seconds running off the clock, which helped send the game into overtime. But Jeff West would actually knock down some clutch free throws and are able to hold on again for that overtime win and improved to 2-3 overall, 2-2 in Big 7 league play. Blue Jays dropping to 1-4 and 1-2. So certainly a very exciting game in the first one tonight. Kinley Stones, the senior for Jeff West, was our player of the game. She had 14 points and was 4 of 6 from the free throw line in that overtime period. Well, the boys' game, Jeff West got out to an early 10-4 lead, but Sabetha ended the half. Midway through the first quarter on, the rest of the way in that first half, they ended it on a 30-8 run. Blue Jay boys would go on to win it by 30 points, 68-38, as they cruised with three players in double figures, 16 apiece for Marcus Bauman, Christian McAfee. McAfee also had 9 rebounds. Will Ulrich had a nice night with 11 against Sabetha, winning it by 30. They are now 4-1, 3-0 in league play. Jeff West, they have dropped back-to-back games. They are now 2-3 and 2-2. They got 14 points from Connor Rich to lead the way. So again, both these teams will be in action one more time before the holiday break next Tuesday. For Sabetha, they go to Nemaha Central. Jefferson West, they will be back at home taking on Holton. So again, a split in the Big 7 Friday night. Jeff West girls victorious in game one in overtime, 40-37. Sabetha boys big in the nightcap, 68-38. I'm Brady Tadman reporting for the High School School Board Show here on the MSC Sports Radio Network.
All right, B-Tad, thank you for that. Again, really good girls game, Boz, and that was took overtime to decide that one, and then the boys' nightcap, a running clock in that one. So kind of a tale of two different games down there in Sabetha, huh?
Yeah, we talked about, you know, Jeff West. That's a really big win for them, getting an overtime victory. It's a little test for your team early on, how they're going to handle late-game situations and an overtime situation. Really good win for Jeff West girls. And then on the boys' side, you know, he said this might be one of the first years in a while that the Big 7 has been a little more wide open. I think Sabetha might not disagree. They might not agree with that.
Sure,
You know, they defeat Jeff West by 30.
And that's fine. I mean, again, we're just talking heads, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, we got some insight. We got some opinions. But, again, just looking at – I'm excited to see a Sabetha-Nemaha game.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and kind of just see how that's going to gauge a lot for it. We've got a caller on the line we're going to get to here in just a second. But before we go to him, let's hear about the game that we know he's going to talk about, Boz.
All right.
Tom Counts had the call. Oskaloosa at JCN. The Chargers. Still don't have it. Help me out.
Chargers.
There it is. The Chargers tonight take on Da Bears. And the Chargers come out with a couple wins.
Northeast Kansas League basketball was played in Winchester, Kansas tonight, and it was a big night for the home team as Jefferson County North took a pair from Oskaloosa, but two very different kind of games. And the opener, it was close. 27-19 at halftime, JCN with the lead. Oskaloosa battled back, but the Chargers held on to win it 55-46. Lady Bears led in scoring by Michaela Boyd and Emma Vogel, a dozen apiece. For the JCN Lady Chargers, what a night for Emily Langley. 27 points. Lady Chargers go to 3-2 on the season, 3-1 in the conference. Oskaloosa now 3-2 and 2-2. And the guys' game, it was all JCN all night. Chargers jumped in front 19-3 at the end of the opening quarter, racing to a 56-29 win, leading by over 30 in the third quarter. For Oskaloosa, it was Trenton Van Houten and Josh Rowe with eight apiece. But for JCN, Connor Kearns. Connor with 14 points to lead the Chargers scoring. Calvin Manville 10-10 for Grady Noel. So again, Winchester, Kansas saw JCN sweep Oskaloosa in the NEKL tonight. Tom Counts reporting for the MSC Sports Radio Network.
Thanks, Tom. And we're going to bring our caller in right now, Boz.
All right.
On the Giant Communications Hotline. 785-547-3461 right now. 12 days of giveaways going on with Giant Communications and JBN Telephone Company. Just visit giantcomm.net or visit Giant Communications or JBN Facebook page to register for your chance to win. Grandpa Gary, how are you?
Doing good.
Good, good, good.
Friday night without talking to you guys.
That's right. We look forward to it every single week. Hey, I got to know, have you registered yet for that Giant Communications 12 Days of Giveaways?
I don't think I have.
I think you got to get that done, man.
Yeah, I better.
It goes till next Friday, so make sure, because you're always calling in on the Giant Communications Hotline. I'm assuming you took in some action tonight on the hardwood between Oskaloosa and JCN. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the girls and the boys are starting to come along good. The girls had a great game. I wanted to nominate Emily Langley. She had 27 points, and I asked Tom after the game if he kept track of the rebounds, and he said no, and neither did our scorekeeper. So I'm sure she had doubles, though.
Yeah, a little nice double-double tonight. Emily Langley of JCN makes it onto our Luker Chiropractic and Wellness Game Ball nominees. If you want to be like Grandpa Gary, give us a call, and you can give us nominees as well. How about the guys' contest tonight?
Oh, they were doing really well. Connor Kearns and Calvin Manville did a great job. I think Connor had the most points, but if I could put them both their names in, I would. But
sure, why not, Boz? Right?
Okay, throw them both in.
Is that all right with you, Boz?
I'm good. Who? Connor Kearns, and what was the other one you said?
Calvin Manville.
Gotcha.
Calvin Manville, Connor Kearns from JCN on the guys tonight as they take down Oskaloosa and get that second win of the year. And like you just mentioned, Gary, kind of finding their groove a little bit here.
Yeah, yeah. They are. I think the rest of the year, or actually not the rest of the year because we're about over for this year, but in 24, I think they're going to come around really well.
Well, this will be the last time that we get to talk with you, Grandpa Gary, until 2024. Have you gotten all your Christmas shopping done?
No.
No.
So you and Bob need to go shopping.
You and me are in the same boat.
You bet. Yep. Probably do a little tomorrow, maybe.
Yep. I'm with you.
All right. I'll send Boz over to Nortonville area and pick you up, okay?
All right.
Grandpa Gary, hey, have a Merry Christmas, my friend. Hope you have some great time with family and enjoy the holidays.
Yeah. Happy holidays to you guys, too, and Merry Christmas and Happy New Year, and we'll maybe talk to you next year.
All right. I look forward to it. Grandpa Gary, JCN super fan. I'm going to just charge you as that as well. Is that all right?
Okay.
All right. All right. Grandpa Gary giving us a shout once again. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you, sir. Always great again when we got consistency, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's always nice, for sure. All right. So that's going to take us to our next break, Boz. But we've got some people on our nominee sheet for a Lukert Chiropractic and Wellness Game Ball, yeah?
All right. So here's what we got on the girls' side for the Lukert Chiropractic Game Ball from Nemaha Central, Cammie Dollinghouse.
Come on.
She had 11 points tonight in their win over Perry LeCompton. From Hiawatha, Abby Elfner. She knocked down 14 points tonight, 4 of 4.
Yeah.
100% from behind the arc. Knocked down 4 threes tonight. Good game for Abby Elfner.
She broke the record last year for Hiawatha, didn't she? For 3-pointers made in a season. I'm pretty confident in that statistic. I could be wrong, and if I am, give me a shout. Let me know, 785-547-3461. But I'm fairly confident Abby Elfner, a sharpshooter from deep.
Yeah, she had a really nice game. From Perry LeCompton, Taylor Damey, she had 11 points. Excuse me. And from Holton, Elizabeth Schuster, she had 15 points tonight. Here's another piece of this. It's not always the scoring that can get you the game ball. She was guarding Abby Elfner the entire second half and held her to 2 points in the second half.
So Elfner had her 4 triples in the first half, then, is what you're saying.
Exactly.
And a coaching adjustment. And Schuster, who's a tall player.
Yep. Put a little pressure on her. She had 12, it sounds like, in the first half, had 2 in the second half. So not only the scoring for Elizabeth Schuster with 15 points, but great defensive effort in the second half.
Okay.
From JCN, Emily Langley, just heard, had a heck of a ball game tonight. 27 points.
Shout out. Let's go.
Yeah, really good game.
On
the boys' side of things, from Perry LeCompton, Eli Dean, he had 17 points tonight in that big win over Nemaha Central. From Holton, Bodie Dillon. He had 16 points tonight. He was 8 of 10 from the foul line.
Oh, that's impressive.
They got the win over Hiawatha. And then from Sabetha, Christian McAfee.
C-Mac.
16 points and 9 boards. Close to a double-double tonight for Christian McAfee. And then we just heard Grandpa Gary throw in his nominations from JCN. Connor Kearns and Calvin Manville both had really nice games tonight.
785-547-3461. If you didn't hear a player you want on our nominees for the Lukert Chiropractic and Wellness Game Ball, you need to give us a call and give us those nominees. We're going to our next break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about those game balls, but also talk some other hoops. You're listening to the Community National Bank High School Scoreboard Show.
This is Chris Studer, Senior Vice President and Cashier at Community National Bank.
Community National Bank is founded by local businessmen, farmers, the people that make the community what it is. My goal has always been, and strong point will always be, to provide the customer service to the people that support us. At the end of the day, we would not be the organization we are without the support of our customers.
You feel
Denison State Bank, putting your interest at heart.
If you're in the ag community, turn to the local five-star bank that understands who you are and what you do. We've been helping generations of farmers, ranchers, and ag producers with their banking and borrowing, and we would welcome the chance to help you as well.
Denison State Bank, putting your interest at heart.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
On your way to the game or on the ride home from the game, stop by McDonald's in Seneca or Hiawatha for a meal or just for a snack. There's a variety of delicious items to choose from on their menu, and you can get them to go. Why cook before or after the game? Stop in for your favorite drink or ice cream treat like a McFlurry or an ice cream cone. Or one of your favorite sandwich like a Big Mac or a Quarter Pounder. Whether you're headed to or from the game, stop by McDonald's in Hiawatha or Seneca.
Market declines, unemployment, oil prices. Today's headlines can be scary. Hi, I'm Edward Jones, financial advisor Jeff Russell. I'll work with you to help you understand the impact of short-term events and how to be positioned for the long term. We provide the tools for a reasoned, disciplined approach to investing. Don't let headlines derail your long-term financial strategy. Stop by my office in Sabetha or Brad Edwards in Hiawatha or Shannon Wrights in Holton. Edward Jones, Making Sense of Investing, member SIPC.
Helena Agri-Enterprises in Centralia, Seneca, Bern, and Home City are driven by the success of our customers. Founded in 1957, we've grown to be one of the nation's foremost agricultural and specialty formulators. Our crop protection products, fertilizer, and application services are just a few of the things we do to help our customers succeed. Put our local people to work for you. Call or see us at Helena Agri-Enterprises in Seneca, Centralia, Bern, and Home City.
Don't let your internet connection fall short this season. As the leaves change and the temperature drops, it's the perfect time to cozy up and enjoy blazing fast internet. When you switch to the high-speed internet service this fall, you'll receive a free month of service. Say goodbye to slow, unreliable connections, and hello to streaming, gaming, and working from home with ease. Embrace the season of change with Change for the Better at Giant Communications. This offer available for a limited time, so you better act fast. Visit GiantCOMM.net for all details for the Fall into Savings promotion going on right now at Giant Communications.
You got to jump sometimes, Buzz.
Let's go. Jump.
Sometimes we got to keep ourselves loose in the studio.
Oh, come on.
We got to jump around a little bit. Come on now. You're hanging out with Jake and Boz on the final edition of the Community National Bank High School Scoreboard Show here in 2023. It's been a fun ride so far, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely, it has.
It's a lot different than what we've done in the past, and I feel like it's good. I feel like the folks like it. Get a little bit of an opinion from us. We're really diving into some of these games, and the big thing is we got scores, but we're still missing one game from tonight. And that's one that were, or three games, I think, total.
We're down to one.
Oh, down to one?
On both sides.
Oh, dang.
ACCHS at McClouth.
Okay, that's the one we need.
Both girls and boys. We got everything else.
785-547-3461. If you have the ACCHS McClouth final for guys and girls, or if you got a Lucre Chiropractic and Wellness game ball nominee that you want to have on the nominations, we've got to get these nominees going a little bit here. So give us our scores really quick, would you?
All right, let's start off with the girls' scores from tonight. Axtell defeated Rock Hills 32-26. Centralia gets the win over Washington County 52-18. Valley Heights defeats Donovan West 57-48. Hanover gets the win over Onega 66-28. Hiawatha gets the four-point win over Holton 38-32. Another close game, Jeff West, they come out on top of Sabetha 40-37 in overtime. Nemaha Central, they took it to Perry LeCompton tonight 46-15. Riverside, they defeated Royal Valley 61-21. Horton defeated Jackson Heights, another close game 49-44. Jeff County North, they got the win over Oskaloosa 55-46. Marhill Mount Academy, they defeated Pleasant Ridge 47-25. Just the most recent score we got, we were looking for it. Thank you, Tom Cowd, sending that one in.
Shout out, Tom.
That's right. Atchison, 55. Sumner Academy, 22. And Marysville, they defeated Chapman, 43-36. That was the girls' scores from tonight.
All right. And we'll get to the guys here, yeah?
All right. Let's get the boys done, too, as well. Axtell, they defeated Rock Hills, 68-31. Axtell, we talked about this a little off-air. They're just dudes.
Yeah.
39-game football winning streak. They're starting the season off 4-0 in basketball.
Three straight state titles in football. Made it to state a year ago. Basketball, let's go, man. Again, when you got dudes, you got dudes.
Well, a little shout-out. I saw a video. Brandon Schmelsley.
Uh-oh, what?
Takes the ball left wing, drives baseline up, two-hand dunk.
Is that what we're going to see from you?
On the 9-foot rim, yes. How confident did that sound?
Not very. Maybe we can get Brandon Schmelzley to come show you how it's done.
Well, he can show me. I don't know if I can. I don't know if it's gonna help. But
you want to do a contest against him?
Absolutely not.
Good answer.
Yes. No. Here's the thing. These kids. I mean, good grief. They're so athletic. And the video I saw, it just was effortless.
I mean
super good hops.
The fact too that you got probably north of 3 decades difference in age.
Yeah. Way north.
Way. I was trying not to give away your age.
Well, not way way north, but yeah, pretty far north of that.
Who else we got?
All right. Centralia, they defeat Washington County 54-42. Valley Heights gets the win over Donovan West 49-24. Hanover took it to Onega tonight 80-28. Holton defeated Hiawatha 56-39. Sabetha gets the win over Jeff West 68-38. Perry LeCompton gets a big win. We talked about that over Nemaha Central 42-36. Royal Valley, they escape with a 4-point win over Riverside, 63-59. Horton, victorious over Jackson Heights, 52-42. Jeff County North gets the win. Big win for Jeff County North.
Huge.
And I think Grandpa Gary commented on these guys. They just got done playing football, and they're trying to figure things out a little bit. They improved to 2-2. They beat Oskaloosa 56-29, a 3-1 Oskaloosa team at the time. So a big win for Jeff County North. Marhill Mount Academy, they defeat Pleasant Ridge, 61-46. Atchison, this is the score we were looking for. Listen to this, folks.
Uh-huh.
Atchison, 90. Sumner Academy, 40.
The Phoenix!
Beat them by 50.
Dang. A 50 burger.
50.
Yo.
Yeah, so Atchison, the word is they are pretty doggone good.
Huh. Weird.
They were good in football. Had
they
a
were good
season.
In basketball last year.
They got some guys. So
the
we're gonna
Phoenix are flying high.
Keep an eye on them. And then the last score from tonight, Marysville. They defeated Chapman 52-45.
How about this, Boz? We actually just got the scores we were looking for. We're going to have a successful show where we have
every single score
from the night. Varsity boys action, McClouth, the Dogs. Tame the Tigers. The Tigers.
61-41.
Final there, McLeod over ACCHS. And on the girls' side, ACCHS, they get the split. The Tigers, the Lady Tigers, 69-32 over McLeod. And varsity girls action.
Wraps it up. We got all of them.
Got all the scores here this evening. We got one more break we got to get to before we wrap up tonight's edition of the Community National Bank High School Scoreboard Show. Boz, one more time, give me those Luker Chiropractic and Wellness Game Ball nominees.
Okay, here's what we got on the girls' side. Nemaha Central, Cammy Dollinghouse, she had 11 points tonight in their win over Perry LeCompton. From Hiawatha, Abby Elfner, she had 14 points tonight. She was 4 of 4 behind the arc, 4 three-pointers for her tonight. From Perry LeCompton, Taylor Damey, she had 11 points.
Come on.
And from Holton, Elizabeth Schuster, she had 15 points tonight. She was also guarding Abby Elfner the entire second half, held her to 2 points in the second half. Outstanding defensive effort as well. And from JCN, Emily Langley lit it up tonight, 27
Let's
points.
Let's go.
On the boys' side of things, from Perry LeCompton, Eli Dean, he had 17 points in their win over Nemaha Central. From Holton, Bodie Dillon. The young man had 16 points tonight, 8 of 10 from the free throw line in their win over Hiawatha. From Sabetha, Christian McAfee, 16 points, 9 boards, just real close to the double-double for him tonight. And then from JCN, Connor Kearns and Calvin Manville.
We got some people on that list. If you haven't heard somebody that you want on that list, give us a call. Final chance, 785-547-3461, Giant Communications Hotline. When you need fast, reliable internet, look no further than GiantCOMM.net. We give away the game ball next. You're listening to the Community National Bank High School Scoreboard Show with Jake and Boz on a Friday night.
This is Chris Studer, Senior Vice President and Cashier at Community National Bank.
Community National Bank is founded by local businessmen, farmers, the people that make the community what it is. My goal has always been, and strong point will always be, to provide the customer service to the people that support us. At the end of the day, we would not be the organization we are without the support of our customers.
You feel
American Family Insurance.
As your American Family Insurance agent in Holton,
I'm looking out for what matters most to you, even when nothing's wrong. This is Brad Noller, agent. Call me at 785-364-3302 and let's talk about your insurance needs today. Contact Brad Noller, agent at 364-3302 or stop by one of our three locations on the Holton Square or Topeka today.
American Family Mutual Insurance Company, SI, and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Hello, this is Dr. Brett Lukert from Lukert Chiropractic and Wellness. Nutrition is so important when it comes to our health. This is why I became a certified chiropractic wellness practitioner. Patients need to be educated on how to eat healthy and how to avoid toxic inflammatory foods, because every time we eat, we're either converting our food to energy or storing it as fat. Foods that cause high blood sugar ultimately are what lead to obesity and diabetes. But these conditions are treatable and often reversible with proper nutritional intervention. Call Lukert Chiropractic and Wellness at 284-0088 to learn how today.
Hard to believe we're already packing away combines and grain carts. Harvest is behind us, but before you put everything away for the off-season, Bruna Implement, your local Case IH dealer, invites you to take advantage of special financing, cash discount, or prepay options with their winter service special. Schedule today to be ready to go when the next season rolls around. Bruna Implement, your local Case IH dealer, with locations in Washington, Clay Center, Marysville, Hiawatha, Seneca, and Humboldt, Nebraska.
Secure peace of mind for 2024. Hi, this is Brett with Knotty Pine Oil Company. We are your local, third-generation, family-owned source for bulk fuel, serving Northeast Kansas. I am inviting you now to lock in your fuel price for 2024. Prepay before year end and enjoy stability in your fuel cost. Act now and call 785-364-3711 today for more details.
Don't let your internet connection fall short this season. As the leaves change and the temperature drops, it's the perfect time to cozy up and enjoy blazing fast internet. When you switch to the high-speed internet service this fall, you'll receive a free month of service. Say goodbye to slow, unreliable connections, and hello to streaming, gaming, and working from home with ease. Embrace the season of change with change for the better at Giant Communications. This offer available for a limited time, so you better act fast. Visit GiantCOMM.net for all details for the fall into savings promotion going on right now at Giant Communications.
This is Dorsey Hall, CEO at Community National Bank. You're listening to Community National Bank High School School Board Show on the MSC Sports Radio Network.
All right, Dorsey, thank you. As always, Jake and Boz hanging out with you here on the Community National Bank High School Scoreboard Show. Boz, I haven't said it yet. Say hi to everybody.
Hey, everybody.
Final show before Christmas break for schools, which means we have a couple weeks off as well. It's kind of weird.
That is really weird.
Off the 22nd, off the 29th. We won't be back, Boz, until January the 5th.
Okay.
Shout out to my papa. That's his birthday.
All right.
Not going to say his age because for reasons. But so we'll be back in action on the 5th of January. Boz, you got some Christmas shopping yet to do, yeah, you said?
Yeah. Well, here's the thing.
A little behind the eight ball there, bud.
Don't think my wife's probably listening, but she takes care of most of the shopping. So wow. I asked her today, are you done? That was the wrong thing for me to ask.
Wow. All right, fellas, if you're listening.
Don't.
If you've made that mistake, shame on you.
Yeah, I got to look.
But if you make that mistake now, really shame on you, because Boz just gave you information. Don't do that.
Yeah, don't do it.
Come on now. What are you going to get your wife?
I'm not going to say it. What if she is listening?
I don't know.
Oh, I don't know.
Just tell her what you're getting her.
No, I'm not going to say.
I let my wife pick out her gift this year.
That's boring.
No, it's not, because I'm a smart individual that I want to make sure she, like, the color of it, that it's the color that she wants, that it's everything.
I don't know.
Okay, I'm not making the mistake of purchasing something like I've done in the past, and then her giving me that instant reaction of, oh.
She doesn't give you the thought that counts, Jake. You're
nope.
You're so considerate. You're so sincere.
Nope.
She just tells you straight up.
We've been married way too long, and we've been together way too long. That might have worked in year one of dating.
Okay.
Not not the years of marriage that we're in now. Nope.
All right.
Not happening, bud. I'm too smart for that. I get her approval before. there's some things that she doesn't know about.
Okay.
But the big items, I'm like, yeah, you pick this out. Is this the color you want? Okay. Good to know. So we've got a couple things we got to get to because, again, we won't talk to people until after the first of the year. So what will happen between now and January 5th show is both Kansas State and KU will both have played their bowl game.
Yeah, bowl game's coming up.
And mass exodus from Manhattan.
Woo, what's going on?
No, I mean, it's the portal, dude.
It is the portal. But they're one of the top teams in the country as far as guys entering the portal, number-wise.
Yeah, and you want to know who else they're with? Teams like Ohio State.
Yeah.
I mean, the top-tier teams in the country. So, you know.
Yeah.
I think a lot of it has to do with guys that are not – when you look at the overall majority of the individuals leaving, it's either people that won't play.
Yeah.
Or it's those grad people that, you know, hey, they're 37 years old and they still have a year of eligibility left.
They can play another year.
Yeah. So, anyway. And then seeing where some of these guys are transferred to, it just makes me like, okay. I mean, NIL, portal, it's all just, but whatever. Kansas State takes on North Carolina State in the Pop-Tarts Bowl.
Pop-Tarts.
On December 28th. I think that's going to be a fun matchup. Big 12 ACC.
Yep.
And go Cats, yeah?
Yeah. I'd love to see the Cats win that game.
You'll have that game on 103.9 and 92.1. You can listen to that game on December 28th. Kickoff around 4:45 for that one. And then KU, back-to-back bowl season.
Yeah, I love it. Love it.
We talked about it a little bit last week, though. Some Jayhawk fans are bitter, and they're like, oh, we shouldn't be in the Guaranteed Rate Bowl.
Yeah, I don't. There's always going to be ones that gripe about something. KU's going to a bowl game 2 straight years.
Yeah. When's the last time that happened?
I don't even know.
07, 08, I think.
We're playing in a bowl. Let's go.
It's been a quarter of a century since that's happened.
Just be happy. Things are heading the right direction for Jayhawk football.
And you see the announcement that Kansas is looking at trying to get all their home games? You see where that's going to
be? Yeah, because they're constructing the stadium.
Yep, the construction of Memorial Stadium is underway, and they're not sure it's going to be done by next football season.
It won't.
And so they're looking for a place to play. And if you haven't heard, Bosworth, are they looking at?
Arrowhead Stadium is in the talk.
78,000 seats. And a quarter of that will be filled.
You can't fill Arrowhead. You know, I mean, you remember when KU used to play Mizzou? That was a big border war. They played at Arrowhead a couple times, and it was packed.
Yeah,
but they didn't even fill it up then.
No,
so
no, they're not going to fill it up.
No,
it'd be awesome though.
Oh yeah,
I mean, the Chiefs, Arrowhead, Geehaw, Geha Field, whatever you call it now, they'd be silly not to allow a college team to use it just from the financial value of concessions and different things like that.
Yeah.
Parking, different things. So, again, KU against UNLV at the Guaranteed Rate Bowl December 26th. Confident in that game?
Yes.
Long delay. It
took me a sec. Yeah. No, I think here's the thing. KU has a lot of guys that are opting to play.
Sure.
They're not saying, oh, I'm out, I'm going to draft, whatever. I mean, we've got a relatively intact squad going to the bowl game.
To the draft.
Huh?
No, go ahead.
Well, they're just not going to play because they don't want to hurt their draft chances, anything like that.
You got to have a draft chance first.
Shut up. They got some guys. Don't worry about it.
They got some dudes. They do.
Yeah. So I think we're taking a pretty full team in there.
Yeah.
And I'm excited to see. Yeah, I think we should.
Should win. I think that, honest to goodness, I think that's a 2-3 touchdown win for KU. Against a UNLV team that, you know, again, hey, playing the Mountain West, just, again, it's a lot like when we talk about our local teams here. When you play in the Big 7, TVL, NEKL, and then you go play somebody from Southeast Kansas.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just night and day difference.
Yep.
So I think KU wins handily. K-State, I think that's a tight game.
I think so, too.
Cats might lose that game, actually, to the Wolfpack. All right. Basketball, Buzz. College basketball, Kansas, a big win last Saturday. You and I got to take that in person.
We did. I wish that we had. We got a Facebook page that we could probably put a picture out on.
The thing is, though, is you don't have access. So
I can find somebody that does. I know a guy.
Yeah, and I know a guy that won't do it.
We got
Jake. I'll make sure that happens.
I'm just going to throw it out there. We got Jake in a KU shirt. It said Rock Chalk right on the front. He was wearing it proudly. ESPN Allen Fieldhouse. No comment? No comment.
I mean, listen, it was a great experience.
It was.
Second time I've ever been. Last time was K-State KU back in like 2002, 2001 maybe. And got to go in, little pregame scout, which was really, really cool. See what KU's plans were against Missouri. And then to get it at, to get an understanding of what the scouting was and then watch that happen.
Oh,
it was impressive.
Very cool.
It's very cool.
Yeah.
I will give it that. I did have a K-State shirt on underneath that Rock Chalk shirt. So.
Oh, you're making that up.
Nope, not.
You did not.
Yep, yep. Had a white, I'll show you the picture. You can see a white undershirt underneath it. It was a cutoff of K-State's bowl game against Oregon from 2013.
I'm disappointed.
No, you shouldn't be.
I should.
I wore a shirt.
I went to K-State Villanova last week.
Good for you.
I wore the K-State shirt, nothing KU underneath. I had a K-State hat, K-State shirt. Supported them fully.
Good.
None of this KU on underneath stuff.
Proud of you.
You got to go all in.
Proud of you. I didn't want that stuff touching my skin.
Oh.
I was afraid I'd break out in a rash.
Oh, you're whatever.
Get burned up from that. But yeah, great opportunity. KU gets a big win against Mizzou. They play tomorrow.
On the road to Indiana, Assembly Hall.
Yeah.
KU's 9-1. Indiana 7-2.
Yeah.
And that's a tough place to play.
The Hoosiers.
That's one of the kind of my bucket list arenas I'd like to go to.
Sure, absolutely.
Love to go see a game there.
Hickory High.
Well, I got a deal coming up here in January.
That's
May have to talk about it a little bit. I got an opportunity to go to a Butler Bulldogs game, which would be very cool.
Which is in
Indianapolis.
Yeah. Indiana. Yeah.
Hinkle Fieldhouse.
Yeah.
Would be very cool, but the I can't even put into words how cool this would be. The gymnasium where the movie Hoosiers filmed is in a little tiny town by Indianapolis. We've got access to that gym. It still has the jerseys from the movie up. We can get some pictures. We can go in and shoot baskets.
You taking your buddy Jake with you?
Maybe.
Weird. Your buddy Jake took you to Green Bay. For a bucket
We'll talk about that.
Yeah, all right, folks. We'll keep
we'll
you in the loop.
We'll go back to that.
The Cats, they got a big one on Sunday at home against Nebraska. Big time game.
Weird. Nebraska's 8-2.
So are the Cats.
Yep.
But
Cats are 8-2.
Nebraska, though, they're playing good basketball. K-State has the opportunity after losing two of their first five to finish the opening stretch at 10-2.
Not bad.
After losing Naquan Tomlin,
yep.
A preseason All-Big 12 pick for the Cats, dismissed from the team due to the president. And I think there's a lot more that people are not going to know about that, and I think that's just going to be how it is.
Yeah.
And so there's no reason to dive into that too much. But, yeah, the Cats have a great opportunity against the Huskers. You can listen to that game on 92.1 FM KMZA as well as 103.9. I beg your pardon. It's not going to be on 92.1. It'll be on 103.9 KNZA because on 92.1 it'll be the Chiefs. The Chiefs taking on the Patriots this Sunday, Buzz. And don't forget, we're going to get to our Luker Chiropractic and Wellness game bowl in a second.
Yeah.
The Chiefs are trying to bounce back against a hapless,
terrible
New England Patriots team.
Last time you said hapless was the Jets game.
And we won. We won.
If you say hapless, that should be a 4-TD win. And it was pretty tight ball game.
Yeah, whatever. Well, I'm just saying.
The
Jets are not 3-11 or 3-12, whatever the Patriots are.
They're 3-10.
The Jets?
No, Patriots.
Okay.
3-10.
3-10. Yeah. Yeah. They're terrible. Worst team in Bill Belichick era. Has to be.
True story.
And the Chiefs are coming off a game against the Buffalo Bills where we talked about it last week. This was a game. Was scary. It scared me.
Yeah.
Scared you. Bills coming off a bye, and the Chiefs came out, and it was the Bills right down the field touchdown. Mahomes interception. I mean, the Bills just played better than the Chiefs did, especially in the beginning.
They were ready to play.
They were, and they looked like a desperate team, which we knew they would. We knew that it was a must-win for them if they wanted to stay in playoff contention. They get the win, but controversy.
Big time.
And it's been something I've been excited about all week for us to talk about because I think that there is a picket fence and there is people on one side and people on the other side. Nobody's riding the fence on this, I don't think.
Probably not.
And a controversy is...
We need the video in the studio
right now.
Just
Jake's, my back
hurts. He's standing up. He's getting amped up. Here's what it is.
My back hurts.
We're about ready to go into a... You ever watch on TV the... Like the slapping contest deal where I'm going to stand up here in a second. We're just going to go blow for blow here.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Whether you listen to national media, local media, it doesn't matter. The conversation is the same. And it doesn't matter if you're a Chiefs fan or not. The conversation is still the same. The Chiefs get called for offensive offsides, which had happened only 12 times this year before it happened against the Chiefs.
Out of 224 games.
Okay, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a lot.
And of those 12, I think it was 8 of those were on the Philadelphia Eagles with their tush push.
Okay.
Okay? So only 4 other times was it on anybody other than an offensive lineman. So a skilled player.
Okay.
Receiver, tight end, running back, whoever.
Yeah.
The Chiefs' Kadarius Toney gets called for being offsides as he is a almost full... yard offsides. And I don't think that's where the disagreement is. Do you?
No.
I think anybody and everybody that watched the game, that have seen the memes, seen the pictures, watched the video, they would agree that Toney is offsides.
Yeah.
I think where the biggest disagreement or the controversy even more so is, do you throw the flag in that instance? Because what was taken away arguably could be like the best play in football in the last decade.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
A pass to Kelce, makes 3 guys miss, impromptu, chucks it across the field to Toney.
It wasn't like a little lateral. I mean, it was
no.
a flat-out throw across the field.
Tight spiral. Remember, Kelce was a former quarterback.
Yeah, high school quarterback.
And at college until he got in trouble. And then Toney scores. Chiefs go... The stadium goes ballistic. We're going ballistic at home, and then we see a flag.
Yeah.
So the controversy and the disagreements are, do they throw the flag in that instance, Buzz?
So here's my take on this, and let me preface this with, the Chiefs did not play well enough to win that game. They should not be in that position, in that tight of a ball game, the way they started it. My whole thing with the Chiefs, and we talked about this at the very beginning of the season.
Sure.
I told you.
Yeah.
I feel uncomfortable with what the Chiefs are doing. They're just not the same team. We've seen it all across the course of the season. I really haven't felt a sense of urgency within the Chiefs. You mentioned the Bills. They come out, they're fighting for playoffs.
Right.
And that you could feel that. You could see that. They were focused and ready to go. They had urgency. Chiefs haven't been like that until they get down and then they wake up and let's go. Just hadn't been the fierceness that we've seen from the Chiefs in the past. And you were ready to throw me out to dry early in the season about Mahomes. I said, hey, he looks uncomfortable. Things aren't well. The offense isn't clicking right. And you were, Chiefs Kingdom is ready to just sell this guy to the Wolves. Well, here's the problem.
Okay.
We are to the darn near end of the season, and it's the same feel.
Sure.
The things have not progressed the way I thought they would. Now, here's my argument. With that being said.
Before you go into your argument about the offsides.
Hey, you already slapped once. I get a shot.
No, wanted to say that I agree with you about that the Chiefs in general right now are the same worrisome Chiefs that you brought up and I disagreed. I've changed my stance. I agree with you that there is less to be desired right now.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to make sure that I told you I agree with you.
All right. It's been a struggle bus. Now here's my issue with the way things ended.
And this is where Boz and I disagree.
We could stay here all night and go round and round on this.
I don't know why we don't.
Again, I do not disagree from the... I mean, you can watch the videos. You can pull up anything you want, and it shows he's offsides. Now, here's my problem. If you go back and look at the film, he was offsides 4 different times throughout the course of that game. No flag.
Have you seen the film on that?
No, but a good colleague here...
Uh-huh.
Brought that point up, and I was
shout out Ray Penning.
Ray Penning brought it up, and I was like, "Yeah, that's a good point."
Yeah, Bob said, "I'm going to steal that for our conversation."
Absolutely. Well, that's the thing. That's where my problem comes in.
Okay.
Was it offside? Yes. Have you called it all game long? No. What happens in that situation late in the game? All of a sudden, now, let's go ahead and call that. They don't know what's going to happen with the play.
No, they don't.
They don't know if it was a touchdown or not. The point is, they hadn't called it all game long.
My issue with your thought process with that is, correct me if I'm wrong.
I will.
Is.
Because you're probably wrong.
Incorrect. the fact that you don't want officials calling penalties in the final 90 seconds, 2 minutes of a game.
No, I want them to be consistent. If it's offside and you've been calling it all
game
long.
But what if they miss it early?
What do you mean miss it?
If they don't see it, and then they do see it.
How do they
not see
it? They're
human.
The guy's standing on the sideline looking right down at the ball.
Yeah.
How you miss that? Now, we got in a whole other discussion about the center when he goes up and he grabs
the ball.
He maybe moves it back a little bit.
Yeah.
Was Tony lined up where the ball was at, and then the center comes up and moves the ball back, and now he's foot and a half, 2 feet in front of the ball? But if you're the side judge, you're looking right there, you see that. And it happened four times, and nothing was called until the last one.
So
and that's
three
my,
times
that's my
until
beat.
The last
three
one.
Times until the last
so four
one.
Total.
Four total. Yeah. So the consistency, that's what I want to see. And I don't care if it's offsides. I don't care if it's pass interference. Whatever it is, if you're going to call it, you're going to call it all game long.
Because my issue right now is that the big buzz, and I'll get back to your point really quick.
Yeah.
But the big buzz is don't throw a flag. Don't call those type of calls in the final 90 seconds.
Yeah.
That's the buzz right now.
Yep.
Well, you can't have your cake and eat it too when 2 weeks ago there was a blatant pass interference penalty at the game we were at.
Yeah.
And
sure.
It should have been called. And anybody wearing red and gold was saying, you got to throw the flag.
Yeah.
Well, it was under 2 minutes in that game, too. My issue with it, do I think that they should call that? I think you should call it every single time you see a penalty,
yeah.
You throw a flag. I don't care if it's with 5 seconds to go in the game when they're doing a Hail Mary and someone gets tackled in the end zone, you got to throw the flag.
Yeah.
I don't care if it's 2 minutes into the game. If you're going to be an official, call it throughout the entirety of the game. And that's to your point,
yep.
That you want consistency. Things are going to get missed.
Sure.
You're going to have calls that are missed. It was unfortunate that was not one that they missed.
Yeah.
That's the issue that I take with it is I believe he was offsides. I agree that he was offsides. I just don't like the argument that you can't call it in that situation.
Yeah.
I think that's malarkey. I think there's no way that you can sit there and just say, I would expect the officials to swallow their whistle. Because how on earth are you going to have any kind of a game? Because you know what? If they're just going to swallow their whistles, not throw any flags at the end of the game, boss, I want 27 people on offense out there, and we're going to run the ball from the 50-yard line and score.
Yeah, I agree. No, I'm with you on that. Now, here's the thing. That argument, it isn't just selectly to football. The officials, the end of the game. I mean, you see that in college basketball all the time. It gets down to the end of the game, last possession,
sure,
20 seconds left. They call a hand check. Everybody, you can't call that. You can't call it. Well,
is it a foul?
Is it a foul or is it not?
Right.
But that's where the consistency comes in. If they're not calling it throughout the game, that's where people lose their minds. Like, what are you doing? You can't call that. You haven't done it all game long.
But I think a lot of this conversation goes back to what you started with, and that is the Chiefs should have never put themselves in that position.
Yeah.
They are too good of a team to put themselves in that position.
And are they? That's the discussion that we haven't
really
had. Roster-wise. The realization that maybe they're just not.
Maybe they're average.
Maybe they're average this
year.
They're
8-5.
You're right.
They're better than average.
Better than average.
They're a good team. I mean,
expectations are high.
Exactly.
Yep.
Chiefs fans are spoiled. They've been spoiled the last five, six years. And this team, I still believe we'll make it to the AFC title game.
Well, we talked about it last week. You know, Andy Reid's press conference. We're working on it. We got to get this figured out. Well, we got.
Why haven't you figured it out?
Exactly.
Yet?
Why haven't we figured it out? And there's a whole lot of different pieces that I think are causing the problems. Our receiver core,
right,
not great. Dropping passes. Mahomes, I don't think, is confident because normally he checked down to those guys, and they're going to make a play. They're going to make a catch.
Sure.
Now he's check down, scramble, run for my life. If Kelsey's not open, now we're in trouble.
Oh, well, there's a holding penalty because not only in that game with the offsides, but the Chiefs lead the league in offensive holding penalties, Boz.
Yeah.
It's, again, it's no different. I'm going to go back to that end of the game penalty, but it's no different than any other sport at any other level. If you are a highly penalized team, officials are going to be on you more.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you have proven that you do things, you're holding, you're on sides, you typically hit the quarterback late, whatever it is, they're going to be looking at it sharper than in your game than they will somebody else's. That's the nature of the beast.
Oh, yeah. They see it, they're watching for it. Even if they're not just watching for that, you see it over and over. Now it's, oh, there it is again. I'm going to throw the flag, another penalty. And that's one thing that's killed the Chiefs all year long.
Yeah.
just penalty, 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 especially inside the red zone. Seems like, you know, first and goal from the 8.
Yeah.
Holding penalty. Backs him up. Incomplete pass. Drop pass. Now we're kicking field goals again.
And then the last thing I'm going to say about that whole entire situation, again, you mentioned it, but the officials don't know what's going to happen with the play.
Sure.
They're throwing that flag. If you watch the replay, and this is something that was brought up to me again today, was the receiver checked with the official. First off, the official is under no command to tell a receiver you need to get on or get back. They can suggest it, but they're not required.
No.
Not required. And if you look up that video of Kadarius Toney coming up to the line, and if anybody wants to say that he checked, I don't know how you can check in 1 millisecond like that.
Because these guys are so good, they just boom, boom.
Oh my God.
They just look real quick. But here's, okay, that argument
it
there.
It looked like he popped out of a pool and was shaking his head off really quick to get the water out of his eyes.
Okay, here's my argument on that. If the referees are not required to do anything, and you watch over the course of the game,
yeah.
Receiver runs to the sideline, looks at him, official will give him plus, thumbs up, thumb down, you're online, you're offline. They do that
sure.
Throughout the course of the game.
When a receiver looks at him for 2 or 3 seconds...
So there's got to be a time frame. You got to.
How is the official?
You got to make eye contact.
Even if the official would have pointed backwards, you know what Tony would have done? Nothing, because he was already looking back at the ball.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of stuff we could get in there, and it's bottom line. You know, here's one thing. We bring this up real quick. You know, we talked about Mahomes and the antics. I'll call it that. Jake and I differ a little bit on this. I think Mahomes took it to an extreme.
Unacceptable.
But here's my thing. You watch Patrick Mahomes play, and he's been so good for so long. I don't think he has had those emotions. And actually, during the broadcast, they said it, that the frustration, I think, has finally started to boil over.
Sure.
And he lost his cool, lost his temper. But a part of me likes the fire. We haven't seen that. You think about it. Over the course of his career, when has there been a time when he's been visibly animated, just upset? And I think if you're a teammate and you're seeing, like, that's our dude and he ain't happy, does that light a fire? Is that what they need? I'm not saying go to that extreme, but that kind of display of emotion, if it's a little less and not directed maybe at the officials and that's the excuse of why we lost, but the fire, I want to see more of that, maybe not in that context, but I think that's something Mahomes can bring.
I think if you look back at his career and you look at watch games or something like that, I can think of times where I've seen him be upset, go to his offensive linemen and like bark at him and slap their hands, say, let's go, I need you to block better, whatever he's saying. I think he does that. But I think it's unacceptable. You're the face of the NFL. Okay? Tom Brady was the face of the NFL. He used to kick Microsoft Surfaces across the sideline. And you know what everybody would do to him? Berate him. Tell him that's unacceptable. You're childish.
Yeah.
Why is it different now? It's because it's our guy?
No. I don't think it's just our guy. I think there was maybe a different perception of Brady. And we're going into something here we could talk for another hour on. Yeah, I think Brady was felt maybe like he was treated differently in the NFL. He was the pretty boy of the NFL, the guy that, you know, didn't get calls if a defensive lineman touched him. Oh, there's a flag. Where's my flag?
Hold up.
Oh, come on.
You want to say Mahomes doesn't do that? Every time he hits the ground, watch him.
Well, I think most of the quarterbacks in the NFL
do that. Yes. I'm just saying. I mean, I'm not trying to apologize for Tom Brady. Please don't take it like that. But I'm just saying that when the face of the NFL acts like that, goes on a tirade, goes on a tangent, and then attacks the officiating like that, Tom Brady would never get away with that from a fan's perspective, right?
Yeah.
The NFL, you know, they maybe slapped his wrist. I still haven't heard if Mahomes got fined. I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't.
Yeah.
I mean, does everybody think he should? I think most media members believe he should.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't. And I'm not asking for him to. I'm just saying it is unacceptable when you are the face of not only the NFL, but your local franchise. And I said this to you off air a second ago, and you started going into, you know, a rebuttal with me, then we had to get back on, but you got people watching, dude.
Yeah.
I got my kids watching this game.
Well, yeah.
And I'm just saying that while my kids are sporting their Mahomes jersey, loving them some Patrick Mahomes, and then they see him have a tangent like that, slamming his helmet on the ground. If he wants to show emotion like that, okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
You know, again, I get it. I've been in moments where I've lost my cool and, you know, thrown something. But to be that visibly targeting and with that bite to his bark.
Yeah.
I mean, and part of it's on the television broadcast, I think, too. For honing in on him while he's doing that.
Yeah.
But that's a bad look. That's a terrible look. And you're basically, you're teaching kids and people that love Mahomes, that want to be Mahomes when they get older, it's okay. You can throw a fit. You're going to see Pop Warner this next year, a kid chucking his helmet, screaming at an official because he doesn't get a call.
Yeah.
It wouldn't surprise me.
It is a tough deal. And here's my thing with that. You know, I don't think to that extreme, not the right thing to do. But, you know, in my mind, yes, he is very visible and everybody knows who he is. And so he's got to be careful with that, some of that stuff.
Sure.
But if our, you know, my young kids are looking at professional athletes, NBA, NFL, there's a lot of stuff that goes on in there that I wouldn't condone as a parent.
Right,
so,
right.
You know, that's
the role of the parent to decide.
Absolutely. I mean, you tell them that's not how you operate.
Yeah.
He's really competitive and lost his cool, and sometimes that happens.
But at that point, you're justifying it, though. You're justifying it to your kid, right?
No, I'm explaining why, like, that display, something that my kids, I wouldn't want them to do.
Right, but you're saying,
to that point.
You're saying, well, he's doing this because he's competitive. He's doing this because he's upset. That's justifying it.
Well, I'm explaining to them why it's happening.
Right.
But I'm saying it's okay.
Right.
I'm telling them it's not okay to do
this. This is not okay, but this is why he's doing it. And so in their mind, in their mind, they're looking at it saying, well, if I disagree with this.
See, we're getting into a parenting discussion. So when you tell your kids they did something wrong, you don't tell them why?
Okay, fair point.
I mean, I'm explaining to them that
sure.
This is why it happened,
sure.
But here's why it's wrong.
Right.
To that level.
Okay.
And explain to him, you know, hey, if he would have shown emotion this way, that's a different story. You have that discussion.
Yeah, but it's a little bit different, though.
Maybe a little.
It's a little bit different. I mean, we're going to end it with that as far as the Chiefs talk. But, big time game this Sunday. They've got to win against the Patriots. And let's just hope that old P. Mahomes, he did apologize. He made a public statement apologizing for his tyrants, which that was good.
Yes.
And so that's good that he did that. And that makes slight amends for it. What?
Well, we can talk. You go back over the history of professional athletes. Think of the greatest athlete. Who's your dude, the greatest sports athlete? And I would say, so in my mind, I would say Michael Jordan.
Okay.
Was there a time when Michael Jordan lost his mind and went after an official?
Was there?
I'm going to say yes. I don't know
100%. Don't know for a fact.
But I'm going to say, you watch Kobe Bryant.
Yeah.
I can guarantee Kobe Bryant got fired up, goes after officials, gets teed up. That's not right.
Right.
But every professional athlete at that level, I shouldn't say every, but that is something that happens. You the pressure and competitive, all that stuff, it boils over, you lose your temper. And then you apologize, hey, that wasn't right, didn't do it, Mahomes did that, I'm all right.
So it should be end of story, move on.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, if it's a pattern and it happens every game, then it's a different story. Different conversation.
Okay.
All right.
I can accept that.
Yeah.
That didn't get as fired up as I was hoping it would. We kept it pretty good. And then the final team that we're going to talk about briefly.
Briefly.
The Flock, the Ravens. Punt return in overtime for the win.
That was big. I thought
that was
impressive. They were going down. I had my phone. I was ready to text you.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
To rub it in.
Exactly.
Wow. Wow. You didn't text me when they won, though.
No,
that's
I didn't.
Weird.
No, I didn't.
That's weird. They got to win. They got a big game, Sunday Night Football against the Jaguars. Chiefs Kingdom. Come on now. Cheer on that Flock. Ain't nobody will.
No.
Nobody will. Chiefs are behind two games now to the Ravens for the one seed. Ravens are on the toughest schedule the rest of the way, my friend.
It is.
To the Jags on Sunday. To San Francisco after that. Dolphins at home. End with the Steelers. Tough stretch. The Chiefs can go, I think the Ravens end the year 2-2. I want to make an amendment, can I, to my prediction? I had 14 and 3.
I'll let you this one time.
Okay. 12 and 5. I think they go 2-2 down the stretch. I think they lose Sunday. I think they lose next week at the Niners, and they win their final two. 12 and 5.
Okay.
If the Chiefs win out, the Chiefs get the one seed over the Ravens.
I don't see that happening.
The Chiefs play the Patriots. They play the Raiders at home next week. And then they play the Bengals at home and end the year at the Chargers, who got dismantled last night.
Yeah, they're on
their schedule is good.
Yeah.
They have the opportunity to go 4-0. I think that does happen. I think the Chiefs get the one seed at the end of the season, which is why I'm not freaking out as a Chiefs fan yet. We'll see on January 5th where we're sitting.
Yeah, exactly. We will revisit this.
We'll go back to it. All right. Time to give away our Lucre Chiropractic and Wellness Game Ball, Boss.
Here's what we got. Tough decision, as always. Let me go through the nominees. From Nemaha Central, Cammie Dollinghouse. She had 11 points tonight in the win over Perry LeCompton. From Hiawatha, Abby Elfner. She had 14 points, 4-for-4 behind the arc, knocked down 4 threes. From Perry LeCompton, Taylor Damey. She had 11 points tonight. From Holton, Elizabeth Schuster, 15 points in the ballgame. Also, great defensive effort. Held the girl she was guarding to 2 points in the second half. And from JCN, Emily Langley with 27 points. On the boys' side of things.
Hold up.
Hold up.
Let's just go ahead and give the girls away right now.
Right now?
Right now. And I'll be very disappointed in you if you do not pick a certain
Why you
got
to throw that on me?
I'm just saying. Go ahead.
Okay. Now I'm like, okay, did I miss something here? That's why I like to share the love and get it to multiple people. But tonight,
okay,
I'm going with Emily Langley from JCN. 27 points, and here's the thing. I mean, we will say it,
yeah,
not always just scoring.
Right.
But 27 points, that's balling tonight. So,
I mean, when you look at other scores, Bob, some schools as a whole didn't score 27
exactly
points.
Exactly right. So, yeah, she had a heck of a ball game tonight. She's our Lucre Chiropractic game ball winner on the girls' side.
All right.
On the boys' side, we got from Perry LeCompton, Eli Dean. He had 17 points tonight with their win, big win over Nemaha Central. From Holton, Bodie Dillon, 16 points. He was 8 of 10 from the foul line in their win over Hiawatha. From Sabetha, Christian McAfee, 16 points, 9 boards on the game. And from JCN, Connor Kearns and Calvin Manville. The game ball tonight, I'm going to give to Christian McAfee.
C-Mac.
From Sabetha.
Nice.
And here's the thing. Again, 16 points. He didn't score the most on the night from the game ball nominees. Eli Dean had 17. But he did some work on the boards. Almost got a double-double tonight with 9
Go
boards.
See Mac. All right, Christian McCaffrey. I thought I said Christian McCaffrey. Christian McAfee from Sabetha. Shout out to you, sir. Winner of the Lucre Chiropractic Wellness Game Ball on the guy's side. And Emily Langley of JCN. Congratulations for tonight. Upcoming tomorrow, college basketball on 93.7 FM. Tom Counts on the call for Benedictine versus William Penn. That starts at 1:45 on 93.7 FM KAIR. On Sunday, Chiefs against the Patriots, kickoff at noon, pregame at 11 o'clock on 92.1 KMZA, and on Sunny 101.3 on KNZA at 1 o'clock, pregame 2 p.m. tip, Nebraska at K-State basketball. And then, Boz, this is it for us, buddy. Until next year, we will have plenty of things prepped for you guys for it's not only the second half, but I'm considering it the second half of the season for basketball. So, buddy, I hope you have a Merry Christmas.
Yeah, you too.
And Happy New Year. Make sure you get your gifts bought and don't make your wife get them for you.
Well, she's going to do some shopping tomorrow, and I may tag along. Most times she doesn't want me along, though. That's just a problem.
Because she's trying to buy you something, right?
Probably. That's what I'm going to go with.
You want to tell everybody Merry Christmas?
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas, everybody. This has been the Community National Bank High School Scoreboard Show on the MSC Sports Radio Network. Thanks so much, Joseph, down at Care Radio. Ray Penny, Kurt Kilman, Colin Feldkamp up here. For my partner, Boz, this is Jake. Again, Merry Christmas. Happy New Year to you. We'll see you on January 5th for the next edition of the High School Scoreboard Show on the MSC Sports Radio Network.
The Community National Bank High School Scoreboard Show has been brought to you by BNP Propane, by The Elevator in Valley Falls, Lucre Chiropractic in Sabetha, by Giant Communications, Gals of Grace Boutique in Nortonville, by Bruna Implement Company, by the Denison State Bank, McDonald's of Hiawatha and Seneca, Commercial Tire Solutions, by American Family Insurance, Brad Noller Agent, Honeyman Ford in Seneca, Knights of Columbus Insurance, Kirby Schmelsley, Blue Valley Technology, by Edward Jones, by Sunflower Community Credit Union, and by Helena Agrisystems. The Community National Bank High School Scoreboard Show is an exclusive production of the MSC Sports Radio Network.